Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Rick Santorum. This year's election is quite possibly the most important election of our lifetime. A little less than 4 years ago, we elected a new president. Then we blinked, and our country profoundly changed. The America our founders had created was fundamentally altered, and certainly not for the better. As I share with you my vision for the country, it's my hope that you'll be able to see me not only as the best candidate to defeat Barack Obama, but also for restoring faith in the American dream, restarting the greatest economy the world has ever seen, and for bringing fiscal sanity to Washington, D.C. The first thing we must do is return to the principles laid out in our Constitution, as well as in the Declaration of Independence. The next thing we must do is bring fiscal discipline to Washington, D.C., and finally do something about this massive debt. Under President Obama, our debt hasn't just skyrocketed, it's gone into orbit. Today, every child in America has been handed a bill for $50,000 for their share of the debt. Our founding fathers would have been astonished that one generation would do this to another. And not only is it bad economics, it's immoral. And under my presidency, it will stop. A centerpiece of my economic plan calls for $5 trillion in spending cuts and a balanced budget in 5 years. And I'm not going to rest until that balanced budget amendment is passed by the Congress, and I will campaign across this country to make sure that it's ratified in the states. We will never have this problem again. There are those who will say I'll never be able to accomplish this. Those are the same people who predicted I'd never be able to successfully reform the welfare program in America. Yet I got it done. In fact, it was the only successful reform of an entitlement program in our country's history. And it sent millions from the welfare rolls to work. Another critical component of my economic plan is my Made in the USA jobs plan. Today, too many of the great innovative products America invents are simply manufactured overseas. In fact, we've gone from about 21% of the workforce involved in manufacturing down to 9%. What's the problem? Well, it costs about 20% more to manufacture in this country, excluding labor costs, than it does in our 9 top trading partners who we have to compete with. Why? Well, increasing taxes, burdensome regulations, has added tremendous cost to the American manufacturer. I'm going to change that in two ways. First, I'm going to eliminate every Obama job-killing regulation and every mandate, and of course, we're going to repeal Obamacare. And second, I'm going to lower manufacturing taxes all the way to zero. This will put America back on a competitive playing field. And believe me, in a fair fight, I'll bet on American workers every time. There's one more area I'd like to talk with you about, and that's energy independence. Obama's energy plan is really only one word. No. No drilling. No Keystone Pipeline. No listening to the American people. And unfortunately, it's killing our economy. It's raising gas prices through the roof, and it's putting our national security in serious danger. That's why I support the safe drilling off our own coasts, in Anwar, and on federal lands where it can be done safely with the best technology America has to offer. As president, I will move quickly to make sure that the Keystone Pipeline is built, and I'll sign that on day one. It's safe for our environment. It will make us less dependent on foreign oil from dangerous places, and it will immediately create as many as 20,000 new American jobs. If we want to put an end to OPEC's stranglehold, then we need to move quickly to make America an energy supplier for the world, not just an energy consumer. Before I leave you today, I'd like to introduce you to my wife, Karen.
Hello, everyone.
Karen and I are blessed to be the parents of 7 wonderful children. I can tell you, before we decided to make this run for the president, we prayed a lot. We wanted to be convinced it was the right thing to do.
But at the end of the day, I told Rick he needed to run, precisely because of our children. Even though the children of America can't vote today or in November's election, make no doubt about it, your children and grandchildren have more on the line than anyone. Will they continue to see freedoms destroyed? Will they have to live under the threat of a nuclear Iran? Will they struggle economically their whole lives because of a staggering deficit they inherited? Will they see more and more of our jobs go to China? I can tell you this, with Rick Santorum in the White House, that won't be the America we hand them.
Thanks very much for listening, and may God bless you, your family, and of course, may God bless America.
from the fruited plains of America. It's Santorum Soldiers of Patriotism with your host, XL and Michael B.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Say what you need to say. 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 Say what you need to say.
Just say this. When I restarted our speech, I referred to where our rights came from. And of course, that's in our Declaration of Independence. I know a lot of folks like to focus on the Constitution. The Constitution is obviously the operator's manual for America. It is the how of America. And it's essential that we return our government to the constraints of that Constitution. But the why of America, who we are, is in the Declaration. In these words, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. That's who we are, a country that was built on the idea that rights come to us from God and that the government's job, the one thing the government's job is to do, is to protect those rights so you can form families and churches and community organizations, civic groups, hospitals, schools, and build a great and just society from the bottom up. That's the conservative vision for America. That's who we are.
Indeed, patriots, indeed, that's who we are. Welcome again to a great afternoon of Soldiers of Patriotism. Again, this is Becca L., and we'll bring in your other host, Michael B., here in a moment. But thank you again so much for joining us. I'm going to start with a commentary and then bring on our first guest. And I know that you are going to really enjoy the show, all of our guests today. But here's my commentary. This is the first time I've ever done any grassroots work on a politician's campaign. But you might remember the issue here in Ohio last year, the one that blocks the Obamacare individual mandate. Tea partiers from all across the Buckeye State banded together to get signatures for the petition. Later, we were told that the percentage of valid signatures for those turned in to be certified were at an unprecedented high level. And of course, something happens inside your heart when you see the little things pay off in such a dramatic way. We changed our state's constitution. Now, whether it's going to be noted by the Supreme Court of the United States is unclear. I can only hope. Now, based on his speeches, it appears that Rick Santorum is fired up by this same issue. It's what brought him and his family into the fray. And as you know, it's government overreach like this, started by George W. Bush's administration and earlier, that spawned the Tea Party movement. I'm just lucky to be in the right place at the right time. Now, some of my passion for the Rick Santorum grassroots, especially over the past 2 weeks or so, stems from the fact that I've been hired by someone. In a few short months, I'll be helping a newly formed organization headed by some top-flight members of the Tea Party grassroots movement. An exciting, exciting opportunity. I have never held a salaried position in my life, so this is a first. There's going to be a lot of travel, a lot of phone calls to people I've only seen on Sunday shows or headlining a Tea Party rally on C-SPAN. So someone like me who's been a longtime Sunday news junkie, that's heady stuff. An example, when I lived in Las Vegas, I saw two familiar figures on separate occasions traipsing out of the Bally's ballrooms and toward the Bank of Room elevators. They were Dick Morris and Dick Gephardt. I think seeing Gephardt was the more surreal experience of the two, since he was, just then, rumored to be on John Kerry's shortlist for VP. Doing this volunteer work in grassroots has helped me to gain understanding of why we're conservatives. And I've gained a greater pride in the people who represent me and my county. I'm blessed. And I bet anyone you speak with in grassroots will agree that they are too. We're getting that rare thing, a chance to do something that actually means something. Game on, Patriots. And now I want to bring in my great co-host, Michael B. Michael, how are you doing this fine Sunday in America?
Becca, I'm doing great. In America and in Texas, you know, it finally stopped raining. The sun is out. It's a beautiful blue sky. We've got cottony, you know, it looks like cotton clouds in the sky. I'm in, you know, I probably shouldn't say this, but you know, here in Texas, we like to enjoy our beer on Sunday. So I'm enjoying an ice cold Shiner Blonde. I just got through listening to a awesome commentary. You know, I just want to say, I don't know when, you know, I know that things are picking up for you and moving along, and you know, I just want everybody to know that's listening that this show has gotten 150% better since you and I became partners. You are the best partner any person could ask for. And you were talking about you know, just having gotten involved and whatnot. And it takes me back to my editorial at the top of the second hour last week when I said that, you know, let it be said that no uniform makes you a patriot. Service to one's country comes in many different facets, and as one who has worn the uniform of his country, I can say that I served at the pleasure of my country, and I served for those whom, for whatever reason, did not. And just as I did from 82 to 88, I now serve my country along with my buddy Becca for a greater cause. Along with all of the folks that join us on Sundays, Becca, people that put aside a couple of hours, 2 or 3 hours, to join us, like Billy and Ethan, who's going to join us here in just a minute, and Javen and J.C. Hagan with conservastats.com, and Joe Paul, one of our fine leaders here in Texas, and Debbie Bailey of Alabama, and Shelley Alsmeyer, and Dan Davidson, and just all of our great friends. You know, this is what it's about, folks. This is about being an American. This is patriotism at its deepest levels right here. What I'm trying to say is that you don't have to wear a uniform. And thank you all for your service to our country. You know, I think Aristotle said it best. You know, the whole is more than excuse me, I choke up so easy. I don't know why. But the whole is more than the sum of its parts. And we're each a part of a greater good. And that greater good is Senator Rick Santorum when he's nominated as our candidate and we put him at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and get rid of that socialist that I fought tooth and nail against in the 80s when there was still a Berlin Wall and there was a Ortega down in Nicaragua, a place that I'm very familiar with in Central America, fighting communism a little under the radar. But, you know, we can't have this here in America. So that's my Rick applause for you, buddy.
Well, it is a real honor for you to just say that myself or anyone else is on the level of valor that someone who served our country is. But I do appreciate and accept it. And thank you so very, very much. What can I say?
Oh, you know what?
That was very nice.
But I mean, it's from the bottom of my heart. Just as all of the patriots, our board's already stacking up. You know, that's what we do here at Conservative Nation Radio's show.
And they know, Michael, that this is their show. This isn't our show. It's not about ego. It's not about money. It's not about any of those things. It's about voices. And the more voices that we can have come on our show, express their views, debate respectfully, as much as possible. That's what our goal is, because that's what the Tea Party is about. You know, that's why we got involved with Herman Cain, in different places, of course, but it's the same goal, you know, that we want our voices to be heard, and that's why we're on board with Rick. I mean, I know not everyone that listens to the show is in the grassroots for Santorum. I do realize that. But whoever your candidate is, you support them because you believe that it's for the best of our country, and that's our goal too. We just want a better country. And if you like, I'll go ahead and introduce our first guest. And
yes.
if you want to bring him on,
I'm gonna duck to the back and grab this call we've got waiting.
Very good.
The show's yours today, buddy. So I'm here. I'm gonna do the back room stuff. So go ahead. I'm gonna grab this call.
All right. Well, I'm just gonna really briefly read a blog that was written in. This is from the NewCarlisleNews.net. And New Carlisle, those of you that aren't aware, is a part of Dayton, Ohio. I'm in Butler County, which is actually just south of where Dayton is in Ohio. But our guest is Ethan Reynolds. He is actually a new council member in New Carlisle. He is 20 years old. So I'm going to go ahead and read this blog, and then I will bring him on, and then we'll go from there. Ethan Reynolds has lived in New Carlisle his whole life. That's 20 years to be exact. And half of that time, he's been politically involved. When most 10-year-olds were riding their bikes around the block, Ethan was with his mom assisting on political campaign. He overheard some gentlemen discussing an issue and, against his mother's wishes, had to jump in with, quote, "Don't vote your pocketbook, vote your conscience," end quote. His parents, Richard and Kelly Reynolds, have always been allowing for different views of all members of the household. Friday night family time consists of going to grandma's for games of Rook, pizza and chicken wings, and lots of conversations on limitless topics, and of course, debate. Reynolds is proud to be the youngest elected official in the Miami County area. He states, quote, "I bought 100 signs. I feel getting signs out there early and spread around shows a certain level of support and helps people get interested in you. But just having signs doesn't make people win. I believe what President Clinton said, quote, it's very simple, get out and meet the people," unquote. That's what I did. I knocked on doors and talked to as many people as possible, unquote. Quoting statistics, dates, and political people comes easy for him. Highly political but well-grounded, he loves politics, people, and history. Quote, "Democratic, Republican, conservative, or independent, it doesn't matter to me. I was elected to serve everybody. That's what I'll do," unquote. He continues, "I'm concerned for this town. I needed to know what people's issues really were, not just guesses. So I started a Facebook page, New Carlisle Town Hall, that asked, number one, 60% roads disrepair, number two, taxes, number three, someone young/new. Young blood was what I was hearing a lot, but it's not that. It's getting new people, expressing new ideas," unquote. Hanging with his friend Nick Deisinger, watching movies, playing soccer, and hunting are the things that round this young man out. Jokingly, he tells, quote, "I love to hunt deer and squirrel, and so far I'm 3 for 3. 3 shots, 3 misses. I would really like to get a big deer, but with my odds, it doesn't seem like it's going to happen," unquote. Plans for the future include continuing college, achieving his major in history and minor in political science. He's looking forward to more campaigns to be a history teacher for high school kids. Hopefully it'll be in the Tecumseh school. Quote, "Thanks for giving me a chance to lead. I hope to do my city proud. It cannot be an overnight change in the city. It will take time, but we can make it happen," unquote. Patriots, please join me in welcoming Ethan Reynolds to our show. Ethan, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm really good. The floor is yours. Whatever you'd like to say to the Patriots out there, please go ahead.
Well, thanks for having me on, Becca. Sorry about not calling in a few moments earlier. I forgot about sitting there typing up my finals for my international political science class.
No problem at all. No problem. Just whatever you could do. We're glad to have you on.
But I don't really know what you want me to talk about. Let's see. My name's Ethan. I've been involved in politics for some time. I'm 20 years old. I was the person who got Rick Santorum on the ballot here in Ohio. I turned in the petitions. I got the delegates. And 2 days after Christmas, I got a phone call from the campaign manager asking me to get him on the ballot. So myself and Chairman Dale Fellows from up north in Lake County, we got together and we got him on the ballot. So it was a very, very fun process, but tiring and a little bit stressful at times. So.
Wow. Well, I didn't even know that. So wonderful. You can talk about Santorum graduates too. There you go. I had no idea.
Yeah, I was with Senator Santorum before he became the national guy he was. I worked for him. Went to D.C. with him at the Values Voter Summit. And even my parents, who are very involved in politics, was like, who in the heck is Rick Santorum?
what did so, they? What are your parents? How have they been involved? That was a question I had. How have they been involved in politics?
I come from a very diverse family. I have my youngest sister who is a Green Party member. I have my oldest sister who kind of votes the way my mom votes. I have my mom who's a moderate, and my dad who is a Democrat. So it's a very interesting topic at our family table because we all have our own beliefs. But my mom started off getting involved when she was younger, and her first campaign she worked on was Ross Perot's, you know, the sucking sound to the South. the Tea Party before it was cool, essentially, with Ross Perot.
Sure.
So she worked on his campaign, and then in 96 she went to Dole, and that was really when it started out. I was getting always joke around with her and going door to door in that little red wagon we had, unfortunately. It was really tiring. So I did that for a lot. But I really got involved, though, in 2000, I would have to say. And that was in the Bush-Gore election, and that's when I kind of knew what was going on, but didn't know everything. I just knew that Bush represented my Christian values, so
right.
I backed Governor Bush. And then 2004 was the year that really changed it all for me. I had this really liberal seventh-grade teacher, Mr. Lyons, and I was sitting there in class one day, and he was telling us that we need to go vote for Kerry Edwards, and we were doing the mock vote for the entire nation of students, and we had to go punch our little codes in. And I asked him, well, why should we vote for him? And he told us, well, because he's going to do this, this, and this. And I fired back with, I mean, I'm very personally strongly pro-life.
Wow.
About being pro-life and how Kerry wasn't. And that kind of got the ball rolling. So all the students in class would encourage me, not because they wanted me to talk about politics. They didn't want to get the homework issued to us for that night because I would argue with them for the entire class period. So we didn't want to get homework.
Well, you can make some friends that way, Ethan. That's a good way to do that. Go ahead, Michael, if you have a question.
I got to ask. Ethan, I don't want to put you on the spot, buddy. You're 20-something?
20 years old.
20 years old and you're a conservative young man. First of all, as a nearly 50-year-old man, I am way proud that you're on the show. Becky, awesome job. Tell us a little bit, how does that work for you? Because I know when I was 20 years old, and I know that it shouldn't be, Ethan, but peer pressure on a 20-year-old young man is pretty heavy in our society, and it was back in, you know, in the early 80s, you know, when I was 20 years old. Of course, I was in the service then, so there, you know, the peer pressure then was kill a commie for mommy, which is my basic, which is why I have such distaste in my mouth for the current administration. But before that goes out, I don't have any desire to kill anybody online, but up in Washington, that's on the left. But the thing that as we were beating boots up and down Ardain Street at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, we were kill a commie for mommy, ooh rah, kill a commie for mommy, ooh rah. You know, that was what it was all about. So you know, that was my peer pressure. But you know, I've got a 26-year-old daughter, and I know peer pressure for her has when she was 20-year-old was pretty big. So how does that work? You know, how do you work that into your social life, being a conservative person at 20 years old, which is very admirable because most people at 20 years old, you know, my dad always told me that you're born a Democrat, you go to college, you're a Democrat, you get out, you get a job, you become a Republican, then you get old and you become a Democrat again. How does that work for you in your life, Ethan?
Well, I hate to quote these I think like the liberals or the more leftist leaning folks have good sayings because that's how they get the youth activated. And Tony Blair once said in '97 when he was running, he's like, "You don't follow the crowd, you make your own line." And so that's what I kind of did, and I am doing. I really don't follow what's going on with like the young folks, like with the whole Ron Paul issue. All these young people wrap themselves in Ron Paul because the weed issue. And my problem is I'm very supporting of the war on drugs, I think it's working. I think it needs to be increased as well. But with everyone else, it's with myself, that Ron Paul and the young folks want freedom from God. I want freedom in God.
Awesome.
I was brought up in a very strong Christian household, and that's the way. We all, my family, are social conservatives, but my sisters and dad and mom are all moderates on the fiscal issue, but I see fiscal issues should be conservative issues because they go hand in hand with the social issues. So I really don't follow what young people do. People my age go to the club, drink, and do all that. I sit home on Thursday nights or Wednesday nights when the college nights are at the clubs, and I watch the news or Facebook people or read a book. So I've always been kind of the guy who's out there a little bit different in high school. I was really involved in campaigning, and everyone else was like, oh, you're going to come to football games tonight. And I was like, well, no, I can't. It's a Tuesday night. And this sounds really embarrassing, but it was during the primaries. And I was like, oh, well, it's a primary night. I have to watch the primary results. So I would watch the primary results when we had our little scrimmage football games during the spring months. So it was really kind of hard times in high school because obviously I wasn't all over the place, but I did a lot of social events, though, that didn't have to do with the typical social pressures of drinking or drugs. I definitely surrounded myself with the people who I need to be surrounded by, people who are socially conservative and religious and have morals. So.
Well, you know, that's not, you know, it, that reminds me of something I'm trying. I have an 11-year-old son that oddly enough, we were driving home one day, and I go pick him up from my mom's house, from Grammy's house, you know, their grandmother. And when I picked him up after work, I'm always listening to Mark Levin. And this one particular afternoon, I didn't happen to have Mark on. I don't know. I had the radio off or something. I can't remember. And my 11-year-old Quinn said, Dad, the great one's on and you don't have it on. What's going on here? And the moral of that story is, Ethan, is that, we raise our children, and not that you're a child, but we parents, we raise our children in hopes that they take the best of what we teach them and grasp it. But at the same time, you know, you're a 20-year-old man. You need to enjoy life a little bit. And I just think it's remarkable that you have taken a hold of, you're a city council member, you've taken a hold of what your parents inculcated upon you and have taken that to the level that you've taken it. It's just remarkable. Becca, I believe that probably in another 4 or 5 years, we might be on a campaign for this young man at a more national level.
Well, I mean, who knows? I mean, do you have aspirations to go further, to go perhaps to be a senator, like Senator Santorum?
Nationally, I'm not even considered that. Right now, I'm really concentrated on the city. But I will be honest. I'm not going to be someone who just lies to you guys and say, oh, I've never had ambitions to be anything else other than the council.
Right.
But no, I would really... definitely am considering in 2014 there's an open state house seat in the 79th district,
wow.
Which is where my city happens to lie in. So I'm considering that. I've already ran for office. This would be my second time. I won council in 2010. I ran against Ross McGregor for state representative, and it was a more social issue-based campaign.
Mm.
So I hopped on and ran against him. I ran a competitive campaign, well, at least what I thought was competitive, but I lost. So that kind of pulled back. I was like, well, I challenged him in 2012, but then I saw there was an open city council seat. So I kind of shifted my eyes more towards the city and ran here and won. So, and I'm just kind of waiting for 2014. And if I get the answer from God or the go-ahead, I will definitely run, but I'm just kind of waiting for that moment.
I've been blessed in my life to have a pretty good feel for people. I think we're listening to an up and coming star in the conservative movement myself. And after 50 years of living, a good chunk of those now, as a conservative, I've been pretty close to right every time, Ethan. This is just amazing. It's incredible. Put me in your Rolodex because I'm there for you.
Well, I'll make sure. I may call you in a few years and say, hey, I need you to come to Ohio and help me out. So,
well, my sister's going to be living in Ohio. As a matter of fact, in just a couple of months, she's moving up there, her and my brother-in-law. She's got stage 5 multiple sclerosis, and she's being medically discharged from the Air Force. She's a nurse, and they're moving to Ohio because the climate's better for her up there. Which, you know, I'm like, you know, sis, you need to come to Texas. I mean, you know, it's the best climate in the world, but really not, you know, not when, I guess, you know, it's not when it's 110 degrees, you know, the majority of the year. But she is moving that way, so I will be in Ohio, actually.
Well, and also, Ethan, I know you only had just a few more minutes with us. I know your time's real valuable. You've got your schooling to work on there. But I do want to say that. Yeah, unfortunately, you know, you got certain requirements you got to do, that type of thing. But I will tell you where Michael is there. He's in what's called Hazlet, Texas, and it's called the German Hills, and they actually have German food down there. So it's very, in some ways, similar to the culture we have here in southwestern Ohio, where they have some of the. He told me a little bit about some of the food that they have there. So that might not be too strange for him to come up here to Ohio. So
we'll see
what we can get away with there. But I do want to let one of our callers ask you a question, if that's okay, Ethan.
That's
and then we'll kind of wrap up after probably like another 5-6 minutes or so. I'll let you get on your way. But so we've got Billy. Billy is actually one of our regular callers and also a host on the Conservative Nation Radio Network. She has her own show, Women Patriots. And Billy, do you have any words of advice or anything to say to our guest today? Bring her on.
Oh, right.
Are you there?
Yeah, go ahead, Billy.
Go ahead, Billy. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, keep up the good fight. We're all in this together, and you know, a lot of agreement. it's you know, it's something that. I think that Santorum has a great chance this year. I think that we all need to come together, and we just need to keep moving forward and no looking back.
I completely agree. I mean, like you said, like Sooner Santorum does have the chance. I mean, Michelle Bachmann once said, this is the year for a conservative president. And I think we should take advantage of that because – if you look, Romney, the only way he even wins states, it seems like, is that the vote's so split apart that he just gets these 1 or 2 point victories over Senator Santorum. And unless you're, of course, you're in the Northeastern Bloc where Vermont was like, who's going to win it? Well, we all know Senator Santorum was not going to win Vermont or Massachusetts. So it was definitely a problem there. But, I mean, if you look, the fact that we did very well in Ohio and we carried the rural counties that are needed to win proves that there is a chance for us. I mean, we won Kansas with 51% and Tuesday we'll win Alabama and Mississippi. So.
I just want a lot of people out there to realize, though, with Romney especially is, if they are seriously thinking this person would make a better president than Obama, they need to look at how he's basically, quote-unquote, wasting other people's money in this election, because he's doing exactly what President Obama does with stimulus packages, with his unorthodox spending, and he's trying to knock Senator Santorum down when he's really only getting a little bit of an edge on him based on money, based on his monetary support. And it's just something that people need to realize. That's not the kind of president anybody out there is looking for in this economy. They need someone who is fiscally responsible like Senator Santorum has been.
Oh, I mean, I completely agree. I mean, the old saying is money doesn't win, but it helps. And when you can have your little alliance with Ron Paul and Newt, where they just put millions millions of dollars of attack hits on the radio and on the television. It's so hard, just so hard to keep up with that when you're only spending $200,000, $300,000 in each state just to kind of pull off this, such a close, almost a victory, just a few thousand votes.
But that's the point that needs to be made out there is that, you know, all these ads and all this money that's being thrown out the window basically by Romney just for, you know, what, 2% gains above Santorum is wasted. It's wasting other people's money, and it's doing nothing different. I wish people would get the thing through, get it through their head that he's, like I said, doing nothing different than President Obama. And if that does, that point does become more clear to people, they might start hopping on board a little bit more actively.
Well, hey, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, Ethan.
I completely agree. I mean, that's one thing that we don't have is the hundreds of, not really hundreds of millions, I guess, the $32 million or so dollars to spend. Or I read an article in the Daily News that said Romney was hoping to only spend $50 million in this primary to win. Now it's projected he's going to spend upwards of $75 million to beat us. If we raise $50 million, I would be very surprised. But, I mean, just like Governor Clinton did in 92, running against the money machine, Paul Tussenagas, he just knocked on the doors and met the folks.
Right.
He did it with his volunteers, and that's what we have to do, is just continue doing grassroots is the key thing to get to win.
Mm-hmm. And see, there's one other aspect of this whole race that I bring up a lot during my shows and even on this show I've brought it up before, is the vote that they're trying to get is the independent vote for Romney. And they need to be more worried about the ones they call free voters from the conservatives, because those free votes they think they're getting, they aren't going to be getting, because a lot of people who wanted Pat Buchanan instead of Dole, or they wanted John McCain, but he chose a woman because they're so strictly socially conservative, and they didn't vote at all simply because of their social principles. Those are the votes that I think they should be more concerned about, because I know quite a few people out there that simply will not show up at the polls since they say 8 years of Romney is far worse than 4 more years of Obama.
See, I completely agree. I mean, if you look back in history, when you have a moderate running, typically you have the social right, or the right, I would say, go out and vote for an independent candidate who represents their views. I mean, you had Ross Perot, you had, Wallace in 68. I mean, you just had third parties. If you tick off your base, they either won't come and vote at all, or they'll go vote for a third party. And with Congressman Virgil Gute getting in the race as a Constitution Party candidate, I see that if Romney's the nominee, I could see conservatives kind of backing Congressman Gute, because it seems like they would represent their patterns, or just stay home and not vote.
Well, let me jump in here, if I could, real quick, Ethan. We're fixing to bring on our next guest, and I want to thank you for everything that you're doing in Ohio, and for joining the show. I have a Monday night forum for young folks. Well, I shouldn't say I. Billy and Becca and all of us, Brenda Ward. Conservative Nation Radio Shows has a Monday night forum that is directed at young Republicans. It's called Liberty Sons. Becca's got your email information. Can I get that to my hosts that do that? It's Alan Lawless and J.B. Achilles Skies. One's out of Wofford, the other's out of TCU. You would be a great special guest on this show to address anybody of any age, but in particular, I would really like for you to join these two young men, and address the 20-something crowd. And we have a show on Conservative Nation Radio Shows designed just for that.
I would love to be on. Have Becca send me a time and date, and I will make sure that it will clear my schedule. If it could be after next week, that'd be great, because I have finals this week, so I'm really trying to cram in my busy time with my council job, working for a state rep,
And both of these young men have finals too, Ethan. It'll be. I'll just have them email you, and it'll be at your convenience. But you would be a great fit for this show.
I would love to be on. Just to even have me on here for a few moments today, I'm very privileged to be able to be on here with Becca, yourself, and Billy. So.
Well, thank you very much, Ethan, and God bless you, my friend. You know, if I could extend the hand and shake your father's hand and give your mother a hug, I would. Let them know that there's someone down in Texas that thinks they did an awesome job.
I will let them know. They're on their way home from Alabama, so.
Oh, awesome.
I will let you guys go, and I hope you guys have a great show, and it was a privilege and an honor to be on with you guys today.
Thank you so much, Ethan. Billy, hang on, buddy.
Okay.
Let's get Becca back on here so she can take us where we're going next. Hey, Patriot.
Hey. And thanks again so much, Ethan. I don't know if you left already. Thank you so much. You're there. Thank you so much for coming on the show and for asking me to like your page. That really was what started the ball rolling, is you want me to like your councilman's page and see what can happen. It's just amazing things happen, and if it's God's will, that's what happens. So, you know, it's amazing. So thank you so much. Go study real hard, you know, make your parents more proud than they are now, and we'll see you down the trail, I guess is the way to put it.
Well, like I said, thanks for having me on. I'd love to come on again whenever you guys need me, and I think it's exciting, and to find more conservatives kind of coalescing behind a movement, or a group, I should say, instead of being separated, because for too many years we've been kind of in the dark, accepting the status quo, and I think 2010 and 2012 will prove that we're not going to be accepting the status quo much longer. Okay? We're kind of fighting it. So.
Amen to that. You have a great day, Patriot. We'll stay in contact and have, you know, God bless you.
All right. Thanks so much. Have a nice day, Becca.
All right.
Thanks. Wow. What a segment, Becca. That was a...
I'm speechless at the end of what he just said, but that's me.
20 years old, he's a city council member. You and I, buddy, look, so far we're 2 for 2 since we've known one another on campaigns. I have a feeling you and I will be campaigning for this young man in probably 6 to 8 years.
Doubtless. So do we have a PSA to play? And then we're going to bring on our next guest. And you all may well know him from the grassroots Santorum. His name's Javen Browder, and he's from South Carolina. And we'll have him on shortly. He's going to be reading a poem of his and also talking a little bit of conservative politics to some people you may well be familiar with that he has helped to support in this cycle, including Michelle Bachmann. So we'll give you that little tease, and Michael, if you can take it away with the PSA, we'll be back with you guys. How long is the PSA?
Oh, we're going to do a two-minute PSA, and then we're going to get back. Coming in out of this, I'm going to leave your mic open. I'm going to open up Javen's. So coming in out of this two-minute, one-second PSA, for which I'll probably be crying, so you know which one it is.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
All right.
When a call for a medic went out, Alan left a covered position to run to render aid. That was when he was hit.
The bullet struck him on the right side between his body armor.
Say a prayer for peace.
Alan was one of the first wounded warriors to come out of Iraq in 2003. I'm Trace Adkins, and I want to tell you about Wounded Warrior Project and how they helped this brave young man and his family.
There was life in his eyes, but everything else was non-responsive.
The doctors indicated that Alan would be bedridden and need to be spoon-fed for the rest of his life.
The job of helping wounded warriors rebuild their lives is massive and growing every day. Your gift of just $19 a month will help wounded warriors like Alan, who refuse to give up.
I'm in the fields of Vietnam, the mountains of Afghanistan.
Earned the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star for his actions on the battlefield. He is a true American hero. But Alan became my hero for the battle he fought day after day after day to get his life back.
Your call today and a gift of $19 a month can help provide our wounded warriors with desperately needed programs and services through Wounded Warrior Project.
I would encourage you to donate to the Wounded Warrior Project.
It's going to take a lot of us for a long time to help these young men and women.
Call or go online with a pledge of $19 a month and you'll receive this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
Wounded Warrior Project, all I can really say is thank you. Thank you for being there and giving me something to achieve.
Say a prayer for peace.
Wow, that's very powerful. Now, Patriots, we do have another special guest today. His name is Javen Browder. Javen Browder hails from Tigersville, South Carolina, and is a conservative activist who's been involved in the Tea Party movement from the very beginning. He's a founding board member of South Carolina Right. He also served as the national co-director for the campaign to draft Jim DeMint in 2012 and the South Carolina State Tea Party Coalition co-director for the Michelle Bachmann 2012 presidential campaign. Finally, he acts as the managing editor for the SouthCarolinaConservative.com blog. Patriots, please help me welcome him to this edition of Soldiers of Patriotism. Javen, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Like, I appreciate you inviting me on.
You're welcome. Now, you do have a poem for us today. If you could read that, I would be so honored. It's a beautiful poem, and then we can talk about whatever you would like to talk about.
Sure, and let's put a plug in for the, you mentioned my blog, and it's posted on the blog if anybody would like to look it up, and feel free to copy it. It's the SouthCarolinaConservative.com, so, and that's D-O-T-C-O-M, so if you look that up, you'll be able to find it. And it starts out, it's a poem, I wrote it about, I don't know, a year or so ago, and I just had it saved on my computer, and it came to my mind the other day and thought I would post it on the blog and share it, so. Here it is. You and I were discussing on Facebook last night. It's the only poem I've ever written, so it is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, here I say, the title of it is Me, Myself, and I. Here I say of me, myself, I am awash in an ocean of self-loathing, adrift in a sea of despair. I bathe in the waters of my own iniquity. I drown in the lake of my shame. I glimpse at the destruction that is my earthly pain when I cry out in bitter pain. Is there nothing for me here? Is all my life in vain? Not the me thou know, thou sigh, and asketh for reply. Then declares me of myself, the one of which before I spake, tis me, myself, tis I. Me say, I myself am not the me thou know, but Christ who lives in I. That Christ himself alone may in me live and thrive, that I may in him be, and forever there alive. Tis me, myself, and I must be the one that die. And kind of pair that with, I guess the inspiration came a little bit from Galatians 2:20. I'll read that real quick. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And in the life which I live, which I now live in flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's just, you know, that vision of idea that we all struggle with constantly is, you know, dying to self so that Christ can live in us, you know, and anything that I am or, you know, any talent, any skill, anything I have, you know, a lot of people tend to look at the individual, but, you know, we're in and of ourselves, we're really nothing. It has to be Christ living and acting through us that has to get the credit because, you know, without him, I'm certainly not much to be desired.
For sure, and that's very appropriate for, especially that passage for, you know, Lent. I mean, couldn't be in more of an appropriate passage for that. So I hope that is on people's hearts, you know, that helps them at this time too. So wonderful. Talk a little bit about your work with the draft Jim DeMint 2012, and also, you know, if you did want to talk about being the working with the Tea Party Coalition for Michelle Bachmann. That, I think that would be of great interest to our listeners.
Yeah, you and I were chatting last time on Facebook and talking about, you know, just the amazing things that come through Facebook. And it was kind of funny because I stayed off of Facebook for a long time because I was like, I'm consuming and, you know, privacy issues and all that. And once I got on, and wasn't too long before I realized the power and the network and what you can do, especially politically. So I had kind of, looking over, I had met Rick Santorum and you know, always liked Michelle Bachmann, and kind of as the field of candidates was shaping up, you know, didn't really know exactly who I would go with because it wasn't a complete field. And you know, being from South Carolina and having a lot of respect, living in the same town as Jim DeMint, and I just felt like, I liked some of these other candidates, but just felt like he was the one that could really, you know, have brought the conservative base, you know, together. I think if he had gotten in the race, you know, we wouldn't really be having much of a primary. I think there would have been a lot of coalescing just because of who he is and a lot of these electability issues, and I mean, he's so well known nationally. I think there would have been just such an easy go of it had he gotten in the race. So I just kind of started on my own. I'd kind of heard the idea out there in talk radio and different places of drafting someone like DeMint. So I just started going to Tea Party rallies and different things and made up some literature and was passing out, you know, and promoting that idea. And through social media I came across, I didn't realize there was actually a draft DeMint movement that was already in place. So the national director of it at the time contacted me, and I became the state director of that movement. And then when she eventually decided to support Rick Perry and stepped down, so the two of us that were in the movement stepped up as national co-directors and renamed it, and continued on campaign for a long time. And we, you know, we collected signatures from around the country, and I mean, just it was amazing the outcry. I mean, and the interest for it. Yeah, neat thing about DeMint too is even a lot of the Ron Paul people were supportive of it. You know, a lot of libertarians, because there was kind of that crossover, they had a lot of respect for him on the fiscal issues, and there would have been a lot of coalescing there. But anyway, we worked hard on that, did all we could. You know, I met with him a few times and did some arm twisting and presented him with a lot of letters and all, but he just, you know, for whatever reason, his personal reasons, decided not to get in the race, and you have to honor that and move on. And so obviously during that time, I knew it was a long shot to get him in the race or not, so was looking at other candidates. And there's really three of the nine or so that got in the race. There's about three I really looked at, you know, and Michelle Bachmann was always my top choice, but I didn't want to just, you know, I want to kind of see how things shaped up and see who emerged. And liked Santorum was always kind of my strong second choice. Even liked Herman Cain, you know, and like for a while he might kind of be the one we coalesce around, but you know, that didn't pan out. So it was really what really put me over the top, because I was really struggling. You know, who do I go with? I don't want to pick the wrong person and the Tea Party movement go behind somebody else, and you know, and I'll be, you know, one of a small percent to supporting this other candidate. So, but what it really was when I was able to meet Michelle Bachmann one-on-one and just see, you know, what a real person she was and how, you know, she really gets, I think she kind of gets almost palinized in a way, so to speak, because people kind of look at her, and a lot of that kind of baggage, just being a conservative Tea Party woman, I think a lot of people kind of, you know, have that image of her. But, you know, Michelle Bachmann is so much more. I mean, she has two doctorate degrees, and, you know, I mean, she's really very well experienced and very well spoken, very articulate, and she really gets it. She gets, like Rick Thorum, she gets the fact that we're on the precipice. You know, if we don't turn the ship around right now, you know, we're done for.
And just to speak to what you said, Javen, I mean, I'm not going to say your name wrong again.
Javen,
I'm sorry. But everything that I have heard, anyone that I know that has met Michelle Bachmann has said that she's extremely classy, that she's very, very bright, that she is on top of things, and to have the image that she has in the mainstream media is just, it's pretty much criminal, because this is not the person that they know or the person that they have spent any amount of time with.
So
that was a relief to me, because you know, you don't know when you're a consumer of the media like anybody on a certain level. You know, you see it, and you're like, well, you know, maybe there's something to that, or maybe there's, because you have nothing to counter that.
Right.
You have
no
personal experience. You have no, you have nothing really solid to hold on to. And so that's, you know, to me, that's just very important to anybody to hear from you, just the type of person that she is.
Yeah, she really, and the more, you know, I look back on it, the more I really regret, because, I mean, she was such an incredible, I'm perfectly happy and fully supporting Rick Santorum at this point, but I mostly hate the fact that things turned out the way they did, and people got scared, you know, think of a woman and a Tea Party person like her, and that things kind of imploded for her the way they did, because it, you know, it puts her in a very bad position. But to her credit, she's handled it with such grace.
I
was so proud of her for bowing out of the race gracefully, and she, you know, she's trying to, you know, unite the base now, and you know, she hadn't endorsed anybody, but I think that's probably smart on her part, and she's trying to kind of you know, lay back, focus on her you know, her work in Congress. I think, you know, there's going to be I think she may make a run against Al Franken for that Senate seat here in a few years, so she's got a bright future ahead of her.
That would be cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got to get that guy out of there.
Well, can I jump in here real quick, Becca?
Please, sure.
Actually, Javen, if you've got any pull, I know. I'm going to speak for myself only. When Herman suspended on December 3rd, isn't it funny how that date never goes away for me? I, you know, I'll never forget December 3rd. I was sitting at the nursing home, had just got finished feeding my grandmother. Which is a whole other story we'll talk about on another Sunday. But anyway, I watched him suspend, and then that next week I was in the position to be able to listen to Representative Bachman, Governor Perry, my governor here in Texas, and then Senator Santorum. And I don't know, for whatever reason, Senator Santorum spoke with me, and that's where I went. Not that I didn't think Representative Bachman was a great candidate for the president, because she was. I went with Senator Santorum. When she suspended, obviously for my candidate, I was happy. But the very first words out of my mouth, Javen, were, I want to see Representative Bachman regain her seat, and I want her to challenge, and because I'm not real happy with Mr. Boehner right now. And yep. I haven't. I was at first. I thought that Mr. Boehner was the guy. Quite honestly, I'd like to see Representative Bachman challenge and be the Speaker of the House this next year when we have President Santorum.
Yes, absolutely. That idea is certainly out there. A lot of us in the Bachman movement are, you know, obviously looking for some way to continue to promote her, and that idea is out there. And on the Jim DeMint thing too, we're hoping to make him the Senate Majority Leader. Hopefully, we'll have a majority. And
yes.
Take over that majority. So, dude, we could have, you know, man, wouldn't that be something to have a Santorum and a president and a DeMint and a Bachman leading the Congress? It would be totally, yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know that. I don't think my heart's fluttering. I don't think I can handle that. I love it. I mean, it's what we need. It's what this country needs to get past what we need to get past and get us back on the right direction.
Yeah. Real quick, if my phone happens to die out, my battery's getting low, I'll call right back on a different phone, so just in case. But, you know, it's just this whole process, it's been going on forever. And, you know, as I was looking at different candidates, and certainly DeMint was the ideal candidate, and then, you know, and Bachman, and then, you know, Rick Santorum, I liked him. You know, he was always a strong second choice, and you kind of, you know, you can never have necessarily your first choice, but I think it's reasonable to have, you know, a second and a third choice, and it doesn't necessarily mean that because they're your second choice that they're any lesser. It's just, you know, as you process all that in your own mind, you know, you have to weigh out things and just kind of where your spirit leads you at the time. And looking back too, you know, a lot of this has just been for me to build networks of friends and you know, allies and associations through these different campaigns and movements, and made a lot of real good friends. And
Absolutely. Well, I think we're going to find, you know, because I've brought on another co-host of ours, Billy. She's got a hot mic here. I want to bring her in to ask you a question, Javen, but before I do, I know that the ultimate goal is to get rid of Obama.
Right.
I have great reservation whether or not Romney is the man that can do that. I hate to say it, but I have a feeling that if Romney's our nominee, we're going to see another 4 years.
Yeah. I think that's very true. I think with Romney or Newt Gingrich, either one, I mean, to me, they represent that old school establishment, you know, and moderate.
Exactly.
Moderate. And, you know, like I think y'all were touching on this earlier, you know, it's a different scenario. Everybody's comparing it to 2008. It's a totally different situation because you had this, you know, you had 8 years of Bush that people were tired of. They were tired of the war. They wanted to change. You know, you had a Republican in office for 8 years, so there was this kind of this rebellion against it. You know, this young Barack Obama came along, you know, and he had a certain appeal. I mean, I liked him in a way at the time because he was kind of something different. And the idea of having a first black president and all that's very appealing. And a lot of people bought into that and that hope and change. But now a lot of those people, as moderates, as independents, or even some Democrats now, are very disappointed in how he's turned out. So they're not going to turn out in mass for him. And a lot of it, 08, you know, we had the same thing. We had the McCain, or McLean, as I like to call it. You know, very, very little energy there, you know, a little bit from Sarah Palin. But, you know, that there just wasn't the enthusiasm. And regardless of some of us that went ahead and voted for John McCain, I didn't put a sticker on my car. I didn't donate. I didn't solicit one vote. That same scenario, whether we could hold our nose and vote for Mitt Romney or not, it's really not the point. The point is we're not going to be bringing others to the polls with us. We're not going to be going out there. And the opposite is going to be true for Obama. Those people that had the energy in his campaign were voting in mass. They're not going to be out there doing that.
Right.
So it's really got to be the conservatives that fire it up, because we're going up against a very liberal Democrat, so we're fired up to change that. So we've got to have a conservative, you know, that will fire up that base. And I think at this point, to me, you know, Rick Santorum is the only one left in the race that, that could and would do that.
Exactly. Well, it brings the contrast that we need.
Yeah.
There's very little daylight between Mitt Romney. Not to disregard Speaker Gingrich, and he's a fine man. And, you know, emphatically, he's a good man. I have some issues with his personal life. I have some issues with some things he's flip-flopped on, the same as Romney. But I guess all in all, I could swallow him better than I could Governor Romney. But Romney's negatives are very high right now. I mean, and they're getting worse. And I think you're absolutely right, Javen. I live in Texas. I had the convenience, if I wanted to make a statement, I don't have to go vote if he's our candidate, because he's gonna take Texas anyway. The conservative the Republican nominee, whoever it is gonna take Texas.
Yeah.
That's just a given. Sure. But in states where it does matter, where it really does matter that folks get out and vote if for our general election, I'm just, you know, the steam's going to be let out pretty hard of ourselves if Romney is our nominee, and he's already got high negatives among independents. I just don't see a real good turnout for us in November, if that should be the case. Let me pull in here, though, real quick, our host, Billy Carter from Nopama Nation, and let her throw a question or two your way, Javen, before we bring in our next guest, which is a good friend of ours, J.C. Hagan from Conservative Stats.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
Billy.
Hey. I just want to elaborate a little bit more on the whole idea that we need independents and moderates in this vote. We need to worry about those conservatives who, like I said, they were Buchanan supporters during the Dole era. They were not going to vote for McCain because they're so staunchly conservative and on the social issues that they didn't want a woman having the possibility of becoming president at the time. They like Sarah Palin. They think she's a pretty good person for, like, a cabinet position. But as far as the possibility of president, there really are a lot of people that you might not realize who believe a woman president is not a good deal. And I'm not one of them. My husband is, actually. But there are a lot of people out there who think that a female in the role of president is not going to fly with them, and they won't vote for that kind of a candidate. Personally, I think if Santorum were to win and had a female counterpart, it would be a good deal.
Yeah.
But there's just a lot of people out there that are way right on the conservative ticket that are not free votes like people want to think they are.
Yeah, there's
who would that female alternative be, Billy? Would it be Representative Bachman?
No. No, I don't think so. I think it would be more of a, I want to say, Nikki Haley type of conservative woman, or even, one of the governors out there that right now is showing a positive uptick in their state right now from the having had once a very high unemployment rate, now to a very low one.
Yeah.
That would be a very positive thing in my book. But like I said, there's just some people who are so staunchly conservative, and they are not like Senator Santorum, who says, "I'll take one for the team," in his, you know, support of No Child Left Behind. But at the same time, you know, that's what I would do. I would take one for the team. I would vote for Romney. I would vote for, you know, Gingrich. But these people say, no, we won't vote for Romney. We won't vote for Gingrich. We will vote for Santorum and Santorum only.
Well,
you know, Javen, what I'm saying?
Well, Javen, just taking that theory, Javen, and you know Representative Bachman, I don't know. In my mind, and it always has been, it's always been this way. I've never looked at the VP as anyone of any real strength, I guess, for a lack of better words. In other words, if I'm Representative Bachman, given the choice between maybe fighting for the speakership or being on the ticket as a VP nominee, I'm thinking I want to be speaker because as far as I'm concerned, it's the president and then the speaker, and that's number one and number two.
Yeah, I really, you know, vice president, everybody makes a big deal of it, and I'm kind of like you. It's kind of like being the mayor of Guam, you know, it's kind of a figurehead. and if you look at it too, if you ever want to be president, I mean, very few vice presidents have become president, especially if they, you know, try to run and become president. Few of them have, you know, someone's died or left office. But it's really not a good place politically. And so, yeah, if I was going to advise Michelle Bachmann, I would say stay in the House and maybe make a run for the Senate or the speakership or whatever, you know, that you'd be a lot more effective there. Maybe, you know, who knows, 8 years down the road, you may have a chance at something else again because a lot can change. But it's interesting. She mentioned Nikki Haley. I was Nikki Haley about 2 years before the election and really kind of fell in love with her just as a person. She just really, she was a state representative. She was 38 years old. She's a child of immigrants and minorities, and she was a woman, you know, going back to the thing about sexism. And she beat, in a Republican primary, beat the sitting attorney general, lieutenant governor, and the top congressman in the state. She got 49.5% in the first round of voting, almost totally avoided a runoff. So she has huge electability, and I was really pushing for her to make a presidential run in 2020 because she has the Sarah Palin and the Michelle Bachmann appeal, plus a lot in terms of her speaking ability, poise. I mean, her ability to be in the moment with someone is just amazing. Doesn't matter if there's 500 people around. She's talking to you. She's talking to you. The only thing she's done is she endorsed Mitt Romney and campaigned for him pretty heavily here, which was a big disappointment to those of us in the Tea Party because she was such a strong Tea Party lady. But I've been telling people, look, I don't falter too much on that because Romney came down and endorsed her very early on before anybody knew her and kind of put her on the map. So I figure it's kind of a quid pro quo there. Returning a favor, but it did hurt her favorability. But yes, she's certainly one that on the national ticket would go well. Somebody like her. The thing is about having a female on the ticket. There's really besides her Bachmann, you know, and Palin. There's really not another woman out there that I know of that has enough name recognition to be a tap. So
well, there's Jan Brewer, and I'm glad you addressed it, Javen, because you know Nikki Haley and Jan Brewer are two conservatives. And I don't care about their gender. They're two conservatives that I have always admired greatly. But you want to talk about being disappointed in both.
Yeah.
And it's going to take me a while to get over the – you know, look, I'm going to be the first to say that I'm biased and that I'm upset and I'm – well, I'm going to say it. I'm pissed that they endorsed Mitt Romney because I don't see Governor Romney as some – I see Governor Romney's a poser.
Yeah.
He's a poser.
That's a good way to put it.
He is. And I was gravely disappointed that two people that I see as strong voices in the conservative movement endorsed a poser.
Yeah.
Someone who has stood against everything I stood for. This is what I tell my brother-in-law. Governor Romney's a finger licker. He licks his finger, he sticks it in the wind, and he sees which way it's blowing, and that's the way he goes.
Yeah.
And I was gravely disappointed in Nikki Haley and Jan Brewer both for endorsing him. I can kind of almost forgive Sarah for going with Newt. I wish she'd come down off of that, you know. But I could swallow that better than those two ladies going with Mitt Romney. And, you know, a lot of that is just because I'm a Rick Santorum fan. So, you know, it's hard for me to separate objectivity there.
Yeah.
But that's my take on it.
I think one of the overlooked governors out there is the governor of New Mexico. I don't remember her first name, but it's Martinez. And I was watching one of the shows today, I think it was on This Week, and they were talking a little bit about how if there were a good calling for Latino vote and the woman's vote from the Republicans, she'd be the one to go with on the ticket. And she's a very she's a very conservative Republican, and I'm waiting to see who she does endorse in the long run when it comes down to her. But the other thing about Romney is he buys people.
Absolutely.
And I hate saying it, but Nikki Haley and Jan Brewer happen to have been for sale, it seemed.
Yeah.
Susanna Martinez.
Yeah, that's her. Yeah.
I think a lot kind of with them, it was kind of a thing, too, of just kind of, especially Brewer, if you really look at her. To Nikki's credit, she did it early on. You know, she made her decision. She did it fairly early on. But for Brewer especially, she waited till what, a day or so before the election, kind of had her finger up in the wind, and I think she kind of saw who was going to win her state. And you know, a lot of people just want to be on the winning ticket. You know, they want who they think the nominee and maybe future president's going to be to owe them a favor. You know, it puts them in a good position. And it's a shame. You know, people should act on their convictions. And you know, it's certainly a big disappointment, especially to me with Nikki Haley, because I had a lot invested in her early on. And you know, she's still doing a great work for the state and doing a lot. But as a Tea Party candidate, you know, and somebody that earned the votes of the Tea Party to have endorsed somebody like Romney is really it's a big disappointment. You know.
Well, I have a quick question too. This is for something that Teresa Bruschi and I have been discussing a little bit the last couple days, and that happens to be about this press conference that's coming up on Monday about Romney's Mormonism
mm-hmm.
and black clergy asking him to renounce his racist faith and such.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you think – you might not have heard about it, but Teresa, if
no,
you want any details. Teresa knows a lot about it. But – what I'm wondering is, do you guys think that's going to have anything to do with Tuesday? You think that'll influence anything? Because it has a lot to do with, you know, it basically details the ideologies and the hypocrisies of Mormonism, where they say stuff like they support Proposition 8 in California for gay marriage, but they hate gays. They literally will say it that way. and it comes down to a disdain for different races that I was reading in this article that she gave me the link to. And it just really does seem like that might play a part. And I just wanted to know if anybody had their own input about it.
I hadn't really heard about that specifically. You know,
I definitely have not heard about it at all. So I could
ask
to Tree
Tree in there.
But okay, that's right. But yeah, go ahead, Javen, if you wanted to address that. I personally hadn't heard about it.
It's a touchy subject, you know. When you get to religion, you know, I actually, you know, you're probably gonna don't burn me at the stake when I say this, but I actually voted for Mitt Romney last time around because, you know, in 2008, you know, a lot of it, I mean, Jim DeMint endorsed him. You know, a lot of good conservatives did because a lot of the information on him hadn't really come out, and there wasn't the whole issue of government health care and all that.
So Rick Santorum did too. So yeah. You're in good company.
I think a lot of us, you know, I have no problem with a Mormon person. I mean, obviously, I disagree. I'm a evangelical Christian, so I have a lot of disagreements there. But I can support a Mormon, you know, if person who's faithful in their religion, you know, and morally, they have a lot. You know, we agree on a lot of things morally, so that's not a non-starter for me. But yeah. It would just be the question of, you know, is it going to be seen as an attack on his religion? Could backfire. I don't know, you know, and it could have, you know, Mississippi and Alabama are certainly very conservative Christian states, so it could, you know, it could have a big impact. Who knows? But
sure.
It had to be handled with kid gloves, I think.
Gotcha. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this part of the show. Javen, if you want to hold on and stay on, we are going to have a whole big thing in at the end of this hour and into the next, the third hour, of a bunch of leadership in the grassroots. And I'd love for you to stay if you're able to be a part of that.
Sure. Yeah, I want to call back. My phone's getting batteries about to go out, so what I'll do is after we're off, I'll call back on a different phone, so I'll have a fresh battery.
Oh, great. Well, just anytime.
Cool.
It's going to be sometime toward the end of this hour. It just depends on when people call in.
Okay.
But definitely it's going to be within the hour after that, after this one. So I definitely want you to be involved with that if you can. So
okay.
Thank
yeah.
you again so much for cool. taking part in your poem and just all everything you spoke about. It really brought a great depth to the conversation. I really appreciate it so much.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. It's been my honor.
Thanks, Javen. Hey, we'll be
talk
looking
in a bit, Javen.
Okay, I'll call back. Thanks.
All right, buddy.
Thank
yep,
you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Echo, we are doing great, buddy. we really do it. Well, listen, let's get in this Meet the Press clip, which is our intro today for our newest weekly segment with Conservative Stats, sponsored by J.C. Hagan, who is coming up as soon as we're done with this 2.5-minute clip. Which JC has already prepared for. I've already told him about it. But JC is, thank God, not only is he on our team, but the man gives good raw data, good numbers, even when it hurts.
Yeah.
You know,
I,
so.
Yeah, I'm going to just say this because I've been waiting weeks and weeks and weeks to say this, but I am going to dub him the anti-architect today. Anti-architect, J.C. Hagen.
Yes!
Is a member of our show.
Well, let's get, before we play this clip, what do you think about that, J.C., the anti-rope, the anti-architect?
You know, I wish I was that good, and I hope to be, but I appreciate the support.
Well, you need to have something to aspire to, J.C. I'm not saying that you're they're on Fox News or you know, anything else like that, but, you know, we got to have people on our side that are going to tell the truth. And
J.C.'s not a Machiavellian like Rove. But listen, let's play this.
Go ahead.
J.C. and Becca, let's play this Meet the Press clip. This is because this takes us right into what J.C. has a lot to tell us about, and our switchboard's starting to light up, Becca. So I'm going to play this clip, and then I'm going to go ahead and start answering the phone calls. And so if the clip ends while I'm not here, you take it. Okay, buddy?
I'll take it, and I'll bring J.C. on. Go ahead. Thank you.
No one would have believed in the last years of the 19th century.
Oops.
What was that?
Sound like Darth Vader. I don't know.
No one would have believed.
Well.
Nope, that's it again.
Well, I guess we're not going to do the clip. I don't know where it's at. That's really strange. darn. I don't know what happened there. You guys take it. I'm going to answer the phone.
All right. Well, J.C., again, this is J.C. Hagen. He's with conservativestats.com, a really great blog. A lot of people listening are aware of your blog that you do with Corey. And, J.C., welcome to our show. And, again, welcome as a member of the staff. And we're looking forward to your segment. So, you know, just you have the floor for your special segment today.
Oh, thanks for having me. And I'm looking forward to doing this weekly segment. We have a big week this week with Hawaii, Alabama, Mississippi coming up. Lots of polls coming in really fast in Mississippi and Alabama. And it's just so many polls showing so many different things that we really just don't have a clue. You know, I think all three candidates are leading in one poll or the other. But what is consistent is if Newt is not winning a poll, he is in third. What we can tell from both Mississippi and Alabama consistently is it's looking like Santorum's got the lead in Alabama, followed closely by Romney, and then Newton third. Mississippi right now is looking like Romney's in the lead, followed closely by Santorum, with Newton third. So that Southern strategy is not really working out for Newt down there. Hawaii, no polls yet. But Santorum has sent Elizabeth out there, and Romney sent two of his boys out there. You know, it's tough duty for candidate kids to have to go to Hawaii to campaign. So we'll see how that comes out. We expect it to go for Romney. You know, Romney cleaned up in the Northern Marianas Islands and Guam yesterday. Those island states are looking good for the establishment. They have strong parties out there, not much independent thought, as far as the very few who actually participate. They have very low turnout, and that's very good for the establishment in those places where, well, when you only have 100,000 people and you have a central party, those who actually care are in the party. And those are being controlled by the establishment, and that's going towards Romney. But Kansas was just huge for Santorum yesterday, over 51%. What was interesting is the way Kansas does their elections. Romney got 21%. Had Romney gotten 19% and not hit the 20% threshold, Santorum would have lost 8 delegates, and Newt and Paul would have gotten some delegates. So 51-21 was actually the best possible situation Santorum could hope for, with 33 delegates and then 7 going to Romney. Coming up next Saturday, we have Missouri. No new polls yet out in the Show Me State, but with the primary results, with 55% for Santorum, it's looking very good for him. However, organization is something we have a problem with out there. a lot of supporters, but no one really wants to go to a caucus. So we should win it, but it's going to be a much lower percentage than we did in the primary. And then Illinois, new polls out in Illinois show some very interesting stuff. Illinois does theirs a lot like Michigan, where it's proportioned out by congressional districts. But unlike Michigan, it's not a set amount per district. Well, it is, but not across the state. Some districts get 4 delegates, some districts get 2 delegates based on their population or their Republican population. And Santorum is losing to Romney by 4 points statewide, but downstate, outside of Chicago, Santorum's got the lead. And those congressional districts are where the higher Republican population are. I would not be surprised if Romney were to win Illinois, but Santorum takes over 50 delegates of the 69. So it's going to be a very interesting week this week. A lot's going to depend on what Newt Gingrich does. I was very happy to see that a hashtag I started on Twitter, Dropout Newt, has taken off with a lot of people picking up on that. If any of you guys are on Twitter, you know, join us with Dropout Newt. Try to make that trending so Newt gets the message. Becca?
Oh, I'm here. I'm sorry. I didn't know Michael was talking with you or I was. I was just kind of working on some of the people that are going to be here for the leadership thing. I'm so sorry. I kind of zoned out there. So not that what you didn't say, what you said wasn't interesting, but I got my partner there, and I never know sometimes if he's going to jump in or I'm going to jump in from time
right.
to time. So I see. Yeah, he did have to step away for a second. No problem. So
I'm back. I'm sorry.
That's fine. Yeah, I missed that because I was typing on my email. So go ahead. Go ahead, Michael. If you could take it for just a moment, it would be really helpful.
Well, I had to answer a few phone calls, and I had to step away for just a minute. 3 hour show, JC. Sometimes you got to step away, to go take care of some business. Did you cover Kansas? And we've got Greg, who we're going to pull in here just a little bit. With Kansas, do you think that Kansas is going to help us in Mississippi and Alabama? You and I had chatted a little bit, or you had mentioned something about that on Facebook, getting the phone calls out for Kansas in hopes that it would help to bring us up in Mississippi and Alabama and show that that Newt, anyway, probably didn't stand a chance. How are we looking there? Did the big win in Kansas help us? Help us at all?
Well, no polling yet out. All the polls that are coming out now are still pre-Kansas. The Illinois poll released last night, which was from the 8th and the 9th. Didn't even factor in the big Kansas win, and no new polls in Mississippi and Alabama yet. I'm disappointed with Fox News. The way they're reporting it is split caucuses, Wyoming and Kansas. Well, they reported Wyoming as a win for Romney a week ago when the precinct caucuses were over. You know, that was the important one, the precinct caucus. So they reported that and said it was a win, and now all of a sudden he gets a second win in Wyoming, but the average voter doesn't know that. They don't pay attention. All they know is two votes and two wins. And then you look at, they're also reporting Guam and Northern Mariana Islands and the Virgin Islands also.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping that people are smart enough to realize that Kansas is the big state that was going on, and Guam, you know, as I was talking to some people around here, like, why do they get a vote? Now,
right.
Don't get me wrong, I am 100% behind Guam statehood. I'd love to see Guam and Northern Mariana Islands come together as the 51st state, Republican state. Then see Puerto Rico as 52, another Republican state. But I don't think we'll get that because they're Republican. A lot of people are saying, why do they get a vote if they're just territories? So hopefully that's what we get out of this, and people really see Kansas as what's important. And the convincing landslide that Kansas was with over 50% of the vote.
Right. And real quickly, Greg, for those that are listening that are in the chat room, that are not in the chat room but listening, I'm going to ask you, well, first of all, I want to say this is J.C. Hagan with conservativestats.com. J.C., probably of all the polling data, and I look at quite a bit of it, it kind of befuddles me sometimes, but from my limited knowledge, what I see coming out of conservativestats.com is the best polling data. So this needs to be a favorite on your computer if you don't have it. But JC, while I'm going to ask you this question, and I'm going to bring in Teresa, my buddy Teresa B. I'm going to bring in Javen, Greg, and Billy, and Rick, and let's roundtable a little bit some of the statistics, because they may have something to put on the table that Becca or I are not thinking about. But my question is probably twofold. What importance does Guam, the islands, so forth? And I mean, I heard a little bit about it on the news. But how many people really heard on the news, Mitt Romney won Guam, and how big a role does that play, as opposed to the news of either Mitt Romney got the 9 delegates or whatever it was in Wyoming, but Rick Santorum got the won Kansas, overwhelmingly won Kansas, and Greg can probably address that as well. And then also the redelegate count. Rick has talked about that a couple of times this morning. You probably heard it. I think Iowa, and Billy could probably speak to this. Iowa has, I think, started the part of their caucus system where they're going to actually start binding their delegates. I don't know. Billy might can address that some, but can you speak to that while I start bringing on these folks live? And then after you answer that question, we'll start with Teresa, and then Javen, then Greg, then Billy, then Rick. So go ahead, JC.
Yeah, certainly. With the territories, he won 6 delegates from the vote. He won 12. He got 6 in Guam, 6 in the Northern Mariana Islands. And then, like any state, the 2 national committee men and the national committee woman and then the state Republican chairman all get a vote, which will most likely go. So he picked up about 18, Ronnie picked up about 18 delegates from a Pacific territory. Whereas Kansas, he got 33. Wyoming was 27 delegates, I believe, given out. Romney took like 12. St. Quorum got like 8. Paul and Gingrich got some. So that was much of a split than anything. We've had it up for over a week now that Wyoming went for Romney after the precinct caucuses beat Santorum by 172 votes. And while Santorum won the largest county in the state and the most counties in the state, what helped Romney out there was these 3 counties in the southwest corner. They're the only counties in the state that have a Mormon majority. And they went ridiculously overwhelming for Romney. Like one county was 122 votes for Romney, 6 for Newt, 6 for Santorum, and like 2 for Paul. Just huge advantage there for Romney in those Mormon counties. If not for them, Santorum would have walked away with Wyoming. So that's already been reported, and people also look at like Wyoming, West Wyoming, and they don't really care about the territories. So Kansas should be the big poll. That's where the balance should be coming from. People are like, okay, well, he won Kansas. The territories, they don't even really care because they're territories. People are like, well, they're not state. They don't matter. And again, like I said, Wyoming, it's Wyoming. It's the smallest state in the union. So people kind of overlook that. So we hope for that to be a big difference. The delegates are going to be an interesting thing. Paul has been bragging openly about how he is going to usurp the system and really steal delegates. A lot of people, sadly, even for Santorum, where there is a big support for him, a lot of people actually go out and vote for him as opposed to Romney, where they don't necessarily vote for him. They vote because they think he can win or they don't like the others. We still don't have enough people who want to be delegates to the state conventions. and Paul, all their counties were Paul would get fourth in the county, but every single delegate from the county to the state convention is a Paul person. Because they're the only ones who wanted to be delegates to the state.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to really hurt us. It's going to give Paul a bigger advantage. But what we're hoping is it's going to hurt Romney much more than it hurts us. Paul is so far behind that, yeah, he might double or even triple his delegate count and still not even come close to us. That should hurt Romney much more than it hurts us.
Cool. Well, folks, this is J.C. Hagan from conservativestats.com. Teresa, field a question for J.C. Javen, you're on deck.
Okay, this is Teresa, and my question is, I don't know if this necessarily pertains to the territories that you're speaking about. What is the incident of pledged delegates actually switching for a nominee at the convention other than the ones that they had pledged it to? That's my question, because there seems to be a huge showing up on Twitter, Facebook, wherever you go, where Newt supporters are talking about he's ahead in delegates over Santorum. How significant is that in the long run? I mean, how easily can these delegates be switched?
Not really. When you look at, I know you're talking about with the new people on Twitter. What they're talking about is what's called hard delegates versus soft delegates. A hard delegate is when they are bound. After Florida, all 50 were bound to Romney.
Right.
Separate from, say, Iowa, where they were pledged delegates, not bound until after the convention. So when you're projecting, you say, we expect this many, this many, and this many. But what Newt was able to do was he was able to get the higher hard number while he was way behind in everything else. We've actually surpassed him after Kansas, because Kansas had some bound candidates, bound ones with the congressional districts. We were able to take those away and really come up over new. As far as switching at the convention, bound delegates are required to vote for who they're bound to on the first ballot.
Okay.
After the first ballot, it's a free-for-all.
Okay. But I'm just wondering, has there ever been any tracking of delegates? You know, what's the incident of that? You know, they pledged it to a certain candidate, but at the convention, what's the incident of them actually switching to another candidate? So, I mean,
the hope would be that we would have a one ballot and nominate Santorum after the first ballot. But when it gets to the second ballot, there's going to be some horse racing. Because if everyone's bound, then they'll never get settled.
Right.
They'll only be voting for who they're stuck with. That's when the first ballot you start offering deals and trading and stuff like that to try to get get the votes. So we'll see what happens. I mean, we haven't had a broker convention since, what, 76?
Right.
So we're a little out of practice, but I'm looking forward to one if it's the case. I'd much rather win it outright for Santorum. I am most likely going to be going to Tampa as a delegate for Santorum. In the Illinois 15th district, we're pulling way ahead down there, so we should be. I should be there, and I'm hoping to end it on the first vote. But if it's second vote, I'm going to be in the fighting, trying to get those far-flung Gingrich delegates over to us.
Yeah. Well, and then there's something else that I read about the territories that just quickly skimmed an article where it said in Guam they didn't actually have a ballot. It was just an auditorium full of people and you raised your hand. Is that true? Is that
was a convention for that.
Okay, so that just seems kind of bizarre, but
yeah, same thing with the Northern Mariana Islands. It's the same way.
Okay.
It was a convention of four votes. A problem we have with Guam is, well, back in 2005, a bill was passed in the U.S. House to allow for plebiscite elections in all the U.S. territories. And Guam is overwhelmingly pro-statehood. They want statehood. One of the best things about Guam is they have the highest casualty rates on the war on terror. The people, the natives of Guam, are fiercely patriotic. They're good American people, and they join the military, and they fight hard. Mm-hmm. So they're very, very pro-American. They want statehood, but they can't get enough people registered to vote in order to allow a plebiscite election. They have to have something like 30% or so registered to vote in order for a plebiscite, and they can't even get that done.
Okay.
So there's so few people there. I'm imagining the convention being maybe 50 or so people.
Okay.
Cool. Thanks, TB. Hang tight. Yes. The big, well, not the big boss, but the boss underneath him, Shelley, will be calling in here shortly, and Allison from the Call From Home team. So I'd like to have one of our leaders from the tweet team on when Shelley calls in. Can you hang with us?
Sure.
Okay, thanks, buddy. Javen, you're up.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot on this, but something we're working on in South Carolina is trying to get the delegate process. Our district convention is going to be coming up here in April, so in a few weeks we're going to be going and voting for actual delegates. So I'm working with one of our state Republican leaders who was a Bachmanite and then came over to the Santorum team with me. And we're working on trying to get in our district, for instance, each of our districts we're going to elect two delegates from each district, and then there's 13, I think, elected at the state level. So we're working on trying to recruit people. He's going to be running as a delegate, and here in Greenville, our county chair is, and both of them are on board with Santorum, and if it does come down to brokering, trying to get people over that way. So, we're doing whatever we can to try to spread that message. And his name's Steven. Steven's been working on really making calls around the state to try to get people on board with that. And, if it comes down, there's the idea it could possibly come down to a broker convention, and there's no, after three or four or five ballots, that they may wipe the slate and bring in somebody else. That's an idea that's out there. So we've always kind of got Jim the Mint in the background, if that were to come down. Obviously, we won't Rick Santorum, but we want to have people in like mind. And in a worst case scenario, if it does come down to something like that, we could get somebody. We end up with a Jeb Bush or somebody like that, in my opinion, being just nominated from the floor. But hopefully it won't come down to that. I'm like he was saying, let's try to do what we can between now and then to get 1,144 delegates, so we won't have to worry about it. But in the meantime, we don't know, because a lot of these delegates are going to be elected, between now and then, in the next few weeks, months. We got to do. It's just a mass effort to try to get organized and get the people to elect, and get the right people to run as delegates that have the name recognition and can get elected as delegates, and to make sure they're on the right side. So it's a confusing system, that's for sure. But I'm glad there's people that are smarter than me out there working on it and being able to figure it all out.
The South Carolina convention is going to be a very important one because of the fall of Newt and a lot of momentum for Santorum and on the ground of South Carolina. Right now it's looking like 23 delegates for Newt. But I wouldn't be surprised if we could steal a lot of those at the convention for Santorum. Even a lot of the people who are going to the convention that were Newt people are probably switched over by now when they realize that they made a mistake. And we can come out of South Carolina with a lot of support there. It could be really huge for us. Here in Illinois, 12 delegates are being elected at the convention. And I really see, even if Romney were to win Illinois, we would have enough delegates to the state convention to pull away a majority of those 12 at the state convention.
Yeah, I agree. I think that there's going to be a lot of, knowing a lot of my friends and people that ended up, unfortunately, supporting Newt, it's kind of a nightmare for me because I'm not a big Newt Gingrich fan, and, just kind of seeing how things shifted, and a lot of it was just, based on, I heard so many people that I talked to say they really supported Rick Santorum, but they mostly wanted to beat Romney, so they watched the polls on election day, and just, and so many of them voted for Newt because they were voting against Romney, and it's really a shame because we had a lot of those votes. I think we would have won. But I agree. I think a lot of those people, that I would say a huge majority of the Newt people in South Carolina, would go for Santorum before they'd ever go for Romney. So that is one thing we do have in our advantage. One thing we have in our disadvantage is, Nikki Haley and our state treasurer, Curtis Loftus, both were, campaigned for Romney, and they'll probably both run as delegates at the state, level and get elected. So they're going to have a lot of pull, at the at that, and then at the national convention if they do. So I think we've got a lot working in our favor, but it's, you know, there's also a lot of Romney influence there too, you know, but I think we will have the advantage certainly with those people being in the new camp, because even the state field director, she, or for Newt's campaign, she and I are friends, and she's been pretty conciliatory lately. She has a lot of respect for Santorum, and she's been trying to kind of do what she can to corral people in these states where Newt either wasn't on the ballot or, you know, had no chance, to try to get them to you know, to support Santorum. So I think a lot of them are beginning to see the handwriting on the wall. You know, it's just that hard line, few percent that's kind of going to wind it down on the ship with Newt. But hopefully by the convention, he's pretty much going to be a moot point. And, you know, enough of those people say, hey, you know, let's coalesce and let's see that Romney doesn't get this thing.
And, well, you know, Javen, to what you're saying, and JC, maybe you can answer this, with the way the primary got messed up here in Texas, before I bring Greg on. Greg, you're on deck. And then after Greg is Billy. You know, our primary got messed up pretty good here by a liberal activist judge down in San Antonio. And I know that it would – we're a proportional state anyway. It doesn't matter what part of the year we vote. We're a proportional state. But, you know, with the last poll done a few weeks ago, Rick had a 30% lead. And Romney doesn't stand a chance. I don't care what happens. I mean, unless Newt and Santorum are just no longer in the race by May 29th, Romney doesn't stand a chance here. The battle, if there were going to be one, would be between Newt and would be between Santorum. And we've got a 30-point lead over Newt at the last poll here in Texas with 155 delegates. And I think that's only getting stronger. We have a very strong grassroots ground campaign going on here in Texas. I can't speak for other states, and I don't want to make it sound like that we're better than any other. But I know from being on the ground here, we have a very strong campaign, a grassroots campaign going. We have one of the biggest conservative talking heads in the state, you know, on WBAP. I mean, 50,000 kilowatts that goes out over 35 or 40 counties in Texas, half of Texas. Goes out from Mark Davis, who fills in for Rush Limbaugh on occasion, who is a solid Santorum supporter. Santorum is going to take Texas, but I guess where I'm going with this, JC, and then Greg, I want you to jump in here about Kansas or whatever. Has the lack of our primary happening either on Super Tuesday or on April 3rd, as it was rescheduled and now rescheduled again for the 29th of May, has it probably affected us in an adverse way, or can we still be of service to Santorum as our Texas primary draws near?
Well, obviously, Super Tuesday win in Texas, especially with such a dominating win as we're looking like it will be for Santorum, would have been very big for Santorum, and even polls going into it of Texas being so heavily Santorum could have helped in states like Wyoming would have been an advantage to us. But I don't think it's going to really hurt too bad. The hope is that once Gingrich is out after this week, it won't really matter. It's just going to be a matter of getting our votes where we can. Santorum is surging in California. He's caught up nearly to Romney, although Romney still leads California, and we have Texas. And so it's really a matter of us winning in Nebraska, South Carolina. You know, there's going to be a fight in New Mexico, a fight in Montana, Indiana. We should take Kentucky and West Virginia. You know, Maryland's going to be a fight. Pennsylvania, we should walk away with. We have to lock up our states and give, you know, we'll take the red states and we give Romney the blue states. Basically how it's working out. So it would have been nice to have had, but it's not a big detriment for it not to be then. It's just important to win it when it does come up. Santorum should still be in the race at that time, going on, even worst case scenario, he should still be in the race because of where we're sitting right now.
Right.
It could revitalize a lagging campaign at that time, if it's the case.
Right. Hey, JC, hang on tight real quickly. Greg, I need to ask you to hang on tight real quickly. I got to bring in one person real quick. She's only got a few minutes to spend with us, and there'll be probably another one here shortly. We're waiting for Shelly to call in, but we do have one of the leaders from the call from home team, which is, and I know both of you gentlemen will agree, is very important right now. But she's kind of on a tight schedule because she needs to get back. But I'm gonna turn it over to Becca real quick so she can bring her in. And then we'll get back on this. Okay, gentlemen?
Yep.
Go ahead, Becca. Oh, hang on. Let me turn Becca on. Let me turn her mic on is what I should say.
My mic on. That's okay. We're all adults here. So anyway, Greg, I do want to thank you so much for being on the show. That was a nice surprise for me to see that you would be on, because you've just been such an inspiration to me and here in Ohio. And so I want to thank you for that, for all you all do there in Kansas too. And so I want to thank you for that for the moment.
Thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You, Becca.
You're welcome. And we are going to bring on Allison now. No, Allison Bresnak is the contact for Call From Home. You all probably very aware of that, that what a very important program it is for the campaign, how important it was, especially in a place like Florida, where there was $0 spent on advertising and, you know, we come away with 13%. That tells you something. And so, Allison, I definitely want to welcome you to Soldiers of Patriotism, and if you can just talk a little bit about, you know, the states we're calling now and just whatever you'd like about the program. I'm just so glad to have you on the show.
Thank you, Becca. Thanks for having me on. This is a great opportunity. We love to always spread the message about Call From Home. It is a fabulous program, as you've all said, and we appreciate that because we really enjoy the program because it allows people from all over the United States, whether or not we have a strong presence right in their area or not, to get involved in the campaign, whether or not their primary is already here. So it's, you know, your primary is already passed, you can stay involved. You know, you can make calls from home every single day. And the system, it's the website is callfromhome.ricksantorum.com. And we have a brand new system, which we're very proud of. The new system does allow you to register and begin calling immediately. So if you decide right now while you're listening to the show that you'd like to log on and sign up, we'd love that to happen. And you can start calling right away. You said you're interested a little bit in the states that we're calling right now. We are calling Alabama, Mississippi, and Hawaii. So those are all, you know, obviously important states on Tuesday. And we find that a lot of people really enjoy calling states like Hawaii, not a state that you call every day, but you have an opportunity to call with Call From Home.
Definitely. And just to let people know, I know you can tell this as well, but I think I love this for a lot of night owls out there that maybe have children or, you know, other duties during the daytime. They can definitely take advantage of calling Hawaii because the call times there are, I believe it's 2:30 p.m. to 1:30 a.m. Eastern time. Is that right?
Right. So the 1:30 Eastern Standard Time, well, it allows people to call rather late. And we have quite a few late night people because our numbers are quite high on those programs. So the same thing had happened when we were calling Alaska. And we actually tend to go through those lists pretty quickly. As, you know, like you said, once the kids are in bed, you can, you know, jump on the computer and make some calls. And people seem to enjoy that. So.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, is there anything else? Is there anything to Greg, perhaps, or to anybody else that's on JC that you would want to say, or anything just generally about the campaign so far, just the cycle, how it's been?
Well, I think, you know, the most important thing is that, you know, these grassroots efforts, as we all know, are so vital to Rick's campaign. Rick's volunteers are the most dedicated, strongest volunteers I've ever, you know, been around. And I've had the privilege to be around all of Rick's Senate campaigns. And these are special. We've always had special volunteers. But when you have a nation, you know, of volunteers that are just that strongly supporting you, you make a huge difference. And so programs like Call From Home and the programs Shelley's going to talk about, I mean, these are the differences in close elections. These are the differences in sometimes not so close elections. I mean, when you have that many people working for you, that's what's creating those kind of numbers. So, you know, any help that people can give us, we appreciate. Whether you make 10 calls, whether you make 100 calls a day, whatever you can do, it's really having an impact on these elections.
Definitely. And I want to mention, and this is not anything about me at all. I want this to encourage other people. Last week I received a hat, a Rick Santorum hat, from some calls I had made to South Carolina. Before kind of the new system happened and before you kind of came online a lot, I did make the most calls one day. And actually, there were 2 days actually I made the most calls in the call from home program. So I was able to get a hat. And then actually yesterday I received a sweater vest. So I do have a Rick Santorum sweater vest now. Proudly, I am wearing it during the show.
And if I can mention, we do have the Rick Rewards, which I do have to get posted to the new page. They're still in the site.
Okay.
On the call from home site that was previous. But I will get those posted on the new page. We are still issuing those. Because of just the sheer volume of people who have ordered items from these stores, our order kind of goes in with everyone else's. So those are taking a little bit, maybe longer than we would like. But as you said, you are getting them maybe a few weeks later, but that's unfortunately just a mechanism of it. But we do offer those. And regardless of how many calls you make each day, you can work towards the goals. You know, we have a goal at 500. We have a goal at 1,000. In fact, there's even a call from Rick if you make – I can't remember what call volume it is. You'll have to log on to find out. So you can earn all of these things just at your own pace, and, you know, you can do it in a week if you want to keep making calls all the time, or you can do it over some time. But, you know, you can work towards those things, and people seem to be enjoying that.
Well, Allison, this is Michael. I want to thank you. You know, I'm on the blogger team, and I'm on the tweet team, and then, Becca and I, we do this show, and we produce 4 other shows. You know, so from the teams that for what we do for Senator Santorum, we want to thank the call team, because you guys, you know, I see the post, and you know, I'm so busy doing what I do for my teams, I don't have the time to make the calls, shamefully. But
that's not shameful at all.
We want to thank you guys,
obviously. Well, we want to thank you. I mean, all these grassroots efforts combined, and, you know, obviously on this show, we're getting out the word about Call from Home, and it's just amazing how they all interact, and they're really essential, and they just become one, you know, one big supporting team for Rick that just is so effective. So every single part is so essential, and we thank you guys, and, you know, we just need to keep all these things going, because they're just, they're changing the whole aspect of these races.
And Allison, you know Senator Santorum, and I heard Senator Santorum on Meet the Press this morning, and he said, you know, David Gregory said something about not having boots on the ground, which just makes me want to throw my TV out the window. But what they don't understand, Allison, and you can reaffirm this, I'm sure, Senator Santorum spoke to it on Meet the Press this morning. He has got a grassroots organization unlike anything any of us have ever seen.
It's absolutely true.
Remarkable. We have done what we've done, and Senator Santorum has propelled to where he's propelled with not paid staffers, with people that believe in their heart what they believe.
Right. And you know, those are the most effective people when they speak about Rick, because they do believe it in their heart. You know, no matter if you are doing a talk show or you're talking at Call from Home, when you believe in something that much to give your time, that right there says something to the person you're talking to, whether or not they agree with you. And that has a big impact whether or not they agree with you. And so it's just so essential to have volunteers. And, you know, again, just giving your time, you know, what more can you say about that than that convinces people, and that convinces people to look at the candidate even if they didn't think about them before. And then, you know, and obviously this grassroots team wins most of those people over. It's just amazing.
It's crazy. Well, it's crazy amazing. I mean, I've never seen grassroots. You know, when I was on Team Kane, I thought grassroots was incredible. This is unreal. I mean, this is unreal.
You guys are just, you know, you're just speaking to it, that you're doing, you know, all these different shows. And, you know, I've been on a number of different shows, and there's just so much support everywhere. And people listen to these shows. You guys have a great audience. These shows are so effective, and people want to listen to these shows because that's, you know, they have interesting topics, and they really believe in the cause, which is Rick Santorum. And, you know, that just shows the strength of the effort, and what everybody's doing is just all coming together. And you know, every election, I always say, you know, whenever people, you know, you have these talk show hosts saying, I don't understand. How did Rick Santorum get this, you know, percentage or whatever? It's never a surprise to me. It's never a surprise to me.
He electrified. You know? He motivates. He inspires. Allison, if you've got 1 second, I want to bring on. We've got one of our. I want to bring on my buddy Teresa Bruschi. She's the leader. You know her, I'm sure. She's the leader of our Team Santorum Tweeters team. Teresa, you got anything for Allison?
I don't. I'm just been kind of taking it all in right now. you know, I just
see, it's all working together. We just, you know, we all have this message, and we're all just getting it out there, and it's, you know, it's working, and we see it working, and it's going to keep working, and, you know.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, look, I've got the best of the best. You know, SSOP brings on the best of the best. I've got Billy from Nobama Nation on here. You know, I've got Greg. He's the Kansas State Director for the Santorum. We've got JC, Conservative Stats. I mean, any one of you guys, jump in. You have anything for Allison? That's the thing about this Santorum campaign, is we have the best of everybody giving of themselves, doing what they do best, bringing to Senator Santorum, because this man inspires, he motivates, he electrifies, and we do this, we don't do this for our own personal, I mean, none of us gets anything, we don't make a dime out of this, but what we do make is we make a better country when we succeed.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well said, Patriot.
Well, I personally was going to jump in there before when we were talking about delegates, but as far as, like, here in Iowa, yesterday we had, like, our Central Committee meet for the first time, and we laid out our platform. And here in Iowa, one thing the county lays out we were electing the county delegates, because I'm on the Central Committee and I'm also a registered delegate, and my children are junior delegates here. And one of the big things in the delegates is in the platform, I'm going to basically read one of the key points is that we have we urge continued economic and military support for our ally, Israel. And Ron Paul delegates that wanted to be on or elected yesterday had to sign that if they wanted to be delegates for Iowa or for Woodbury County. And they would not sign that. So they, you know, basically all those Ron Paul delegates he claims to have basically reneged themselves by saying, well, we're not going to stand with the platform of the county. So where Ron Paul thinks he has a lot of delegates here in Iowa, he doesn't have as many as he thinks.
Hey guys, let me just jump in here real quick. JC had to jump off. He had some stuff he needs to do, but real quickly, it's conservativestats.com. It's a great website for all of you. And also JC wanted me to put out to everybody, and Teresa will probably reaffirm this in any other hashtags that needs to go on, Allison as well. You might want to let your group know. Any tweets that go out, we need to put pound dropout Newt on the Twitter. Check out all of the good stats on conservativestats.com. That's JC Hagan. If you're not a friend of his on Facebook, you need to be. Okay, I'm turning the show back over to y'all. Greg, hang tight, buddy.
You got it.
All right, go ahead, ladies.
Well, I'd like to hear Teresa explain the whole thing that's going to take place on Monday with the press conference.
Yeah, Becca, you know
what,
Becca, I'm going to run. I want to say thank you for having me on, Allison. And
sure.
I am going to run. There's a lot of call from home activity going on right now. So
and thank you so much, very, very much, especially since you had worked with Senator Santorum. I definitely want to thank you and anyone who has been with him for that amount of time.
Sure.
That you've been just such an encouragement to myself, to other people, and when I realized that there were those type of people in the grassroots, it really buoyed me, and I understood that you are the anchors that are going to take us through the storms that we have coming up. and that we've been through somewhat, but it's going to get even more so. And and that's, you know, that's something I can't, I mean, I'm an enthusiastic person. I do understand that, but I don't have the grasp of what is coming that you all do. And so I thank you in advance for that, because that's, I mean, that's why you're here. And
well,
and
I appreciate that, and I do thank you guys, too. I mean, we're all in this together, and keep up the good work. We'll all keep working. We have a lot of work to do, but look at how far we have come so far.
That's so true. And again, thanks for coming on the show, and come back anytime that you can with the workload that you have. We appreciate it. And
I would definitely love to come back on. We'll talk to you all soon.
Okay. Thanks, Allison.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh my goodness, guys! So wow. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, what a show, Becca. Well, we've still got Javen on. We've got Greg. Greg's been on hold. Let's go ahead and pull in. We've got about 15 minutes, and Shelley will be calling in.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got Javen, we've got Greg, and we've got Joe. Three state leaders on the phone. So let me go ahead and bring
your
life.
Well, actually, I didn't realize Joe was on. I'm sorry. I don't know if anybody realized, but because we, you know, our seamless production here at in our show, but I actually had lost my cell phone, ran out of juice, so I had to actually move to a landline. So that's what I did, and I didn't realize Joe was on. So Joe, it's really great to have you on, and I want to ask you about what you thought of Oklahoma and the results there. I don't know, I might have missed part of what people were talking about.
Well, quite frankly, I haven't heard any of the comments about Oklahoma, but it was fantastic. First of all, what Michael didn't tell the audience was that not only does he produce all these shows and do everything else, but Tuesday he accompanied me up to Oklahoma, and we did a Get Out the Vote campaign in person. And
wow.
Went door to door, store to store. Every person we saw on the street, we handed them a voter's guide. We engaged them, we did our best to get out the vote in Carter County, and I'm glad to say that we won Carter County. And what people that aren't familiar with Carter County, that's big J.C. Watts territory.
Huh.
And J.C. Watts had been really going after Santorum and Carter County on up into Garvin County and the like. So the weekend before, we did several sine waves there. Every county that we did a sine wave or did any get out the vote work actually beat the state average. So the Texas Brigade was, I hope, beneficial to everyone. But it was great to see that Oklahoma went to Santorum.
It was unbelievable. It was just a great, great thing. So I wonder, I didn't know that. I did not know those things. And of course, my co-host is very modest and doesn't always talk about the things that he is doing for the campaign. And I we all appreciate that.
Well, it's not about taking credit, guys. It's not. Greg, I want to pull you in, Jim. Look.
Yeah,
Becca, we're lucky. We've got three state leaders on here. We've got Javen, we've got Greg, and we've got Joe. So I'd like to move into what we call the leader segment. And thank you, Joe, for those kind words. You know, I'm here for you. I'm here for Greg. I'm here for Javen. Becca and I do this. What we do on Sundays, we do nationally for Senator Santorum. We do for you leaders. We're at y'all's disposal. As far as the county goes, Joe, you know I'm always here for you, my brother. So, but listen, the three of you, Becca, I'd like for you and I to just pull back for a minute, and let's move into the leader segment. I'd like for these three to go ahead and speak to the troops,
right.
Motivate, educate, and speak to your troops individually, whatever y'all need to do. It's the next 15 until Shelley
like
calls in.
10, 15 minutes, yeah.
It's y'all's. Go for it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, who wants to take the lead?
Go ahead, Greg.
Well, how about I start, since I guess the most recent race, and then I'll just jump out and let someone else get in there.
Sounds good.
I think I can't emphasize enough how much faith has to be part of the effort that you put forth in your daily life and into every action and decision you make for the campaign itself. Because there will be times that you feel alone and misdirected, and you must seek God's direction. And by doing so, He'll open doors, He'll bring you the people that you need for the tasks at hand, and He'll provide grace to keep you moving forward. And I think I can't emphasize enough that anyone listening there that's getting involved in any leadership capacity, all the way down to planting yard signs, that a lot of times you're doing it by yourself, or you're trying to corral those others around you to help you. And at times it won't seem like it's there, but you'll have the grace to do that if you integrate that into your practices of trying to run the campaign. And I think it's critically important to keep that focus. I know there were times where I thought, how am I going to get these signs from point A to point B? And I was always provided someone that would come forward, and it's just by grace that happened. It wasn't by my effort. They came to me. I didn't find them. And that's what happens in these types of campaigns, is you're not hiring employees, and you're trying to take an entire state on and run a statewide campaign. You will not know have a contact in every county from day one. They'll have to come to you to a certain degree. And, of course, you're going to work to try to seek them out, but you've got to find the conduits who in turn find more conduits of people, and let it spread like electrical. The electrical lines that go throughout the state has to work the same way, same principle for trying to organize volunteers. It was mentioned earlier by Michael that is it too late? Did we miss an opportunity in Texas because we don't have our caucus or our primary until May? I say no. I think part of our success here was because we got in early and started chipping away before Rick Santorum was even popular nationwide. I got started before he won Iowa, and just started slowly and methodically building the infrastructure in place with the right personnel. My goal in mind for myself, I can only speak for myself, was to find key leaders, not to have an army of people with titles, but to have key specific leaders that could be counted on and walk over broken glass for you to do whatever it took to keep the campaign going and share the same vision. And that's what I concentrated on from a very, very early start. And so I say the time is now to work on Texas, because this is the time you need to find the very key positions and the most reliable people that are going to be able to ride it through for the next 2 months. Because you're going to find people come in and drop out. Some people may be on fire, and you can utilize them for maybe 3 or 4 days, and then the fire's gone. Some people can keep it going for the duration. Other people can maybe only go for a couple of weeks. You take any volunteer that comes your way, and you try to work with them the best you can and utilize them to the best of their God-given abilities and where they can help the campaign the most. And there are always places and positions for people that come forward. I always had, when anyone called and said, how can I help, I always had a list of things ready to offer them to choose from, and allow them to their own freedom to choose where, within their capacity, within their job or their lifestyle, where can they contribute. I never wanted to turn any offer away of help, and that was very critically important. Another thing was I tried to do the best I could to empower the volunteers to use their own mind, to use their own talents, and to go forward and do what they feel would be most contributing to the campaign. I tried not to run it from a perspective as you would an employee, where they report for specific tasks, and because they're hired, you can make them do things they may not want to do, but you're paying them. In a volunteer grassroots effort that does not work, that fails, you've got to try to find the right opportunity that will work for them as well as yourself. And that type of balancing can be a challenge, but it's very critical. You rely on a lot of trust. And one of my favorite mantras that I put forth to folks that helped work on the campaign was I just said, never do anything that could hurt the campaign, embarrass the campaign, or do any damage to the campaign. And you're putting that trust in the hands of people, and you're trusting that they will not do that. And every time, it worked out just fine. There was never anyone that went too far outside the realm of what their authority was, or what their ability was, or they never did anything to embarrass the campaign or go off and start their own little side campaign. We all worked together collectively, shared the same vision throughout the process. Another thing that's important is time management, and you've got to really be careful how you spend every waking hour when you're working on a campaign. You can get very easily distracted by spending time on the computer trying to read news stories and trying to keep up on all these different current events, or get bogged down on things that aren't productive. You've got to make a concerted effort to avoid that and try to keep all your concentrated efforts each and every day when you get up on what your goal was and what your plan was, and not get distracted by that. And one thing that amazed me throughout the process of this campaign was the amount of energy that I gained from the workers and all the volunteers that came forward to help me. There were times where I would work to where I didn't even pay attention to how much I was eating that day, or how many hours I was awake that day, or how little sleep I got at night. I was given the grace and the energy to accomplish all the goals, and it was beyond any strength that I could have conjured from within. It was a grace I was given in order to keep persevering, and I think that's really the key in being successful. You've got to get the infrastructure in place. You've got to have people that trust the direction you're guiding them, and you have to trust them as well. And you basically have to disempower the grassroots movement. You have to trust people that they will do what's right and what's helpful to the campaign, and then everything else will take care of itself. We, as an example, when it came time for the actual day of voting on Saturday, we did not have one campaign table at any of the polling places. And I got a flurry of phone calls, desperate phone calls. We don't have a table. Our competitors have a table. We'll lose because we don't have any stickers to hand out. We don't have any paraphernalia to provide anybody. And I said, look, this is how it is. We had Rick come to town and did three rallies, and we got cleaned out. And there's no way that we're going to get enough literature ordered in time within 24 hours to fill and stock all the caucus tables. You just have to put your trust in all the effort that we've done up to this point will pay off, and not worry about that and push on. And as it turned out, the folks that sat up tables and handed out literature, they were basically giving people materials to haul away. They basically became people that were taking away their trash, because that's about what it amounted to by the time that the votes were tallied. They cleared their tables of all the paraphernalia they brought and distributed. So that was kind of our focus, was just try to work hard on those types of areas and put your faith in God that He's going to take care of your campaign and bring you all the people that you need. And that's kind of how we ran our campaign, and I do believe that's why we beat Romney by 30%, which was a very satisfying margin.
Well, thank you very much for that, Greg. Hey, Javen, why don't you jump in here and give us a little bit of a, you know, from, I know South Carolina's already done all their stuff, but just any words of encouragement from a leader's perspective, and then since Texas is coming up, we'll end up our leader segment with my buddy Joe Paul.
Yeah, you know, just encourage people to, you know, keep fighting the good fight, and I really like what the young man was on in the first hour said about you know, how libertarians kind of want freedom from God, but we want, you know, freedom in God. And I think that's where it really drives me to somebody like Rick Santorum. You know, and I like Ron Paul. Like, I'm a libertarian-leaning conservative. I like a lot of those constitutional, you know, issues and monetary things. And But when it really comes down to it, I think there's a separation in libertarianism and true conservatism, because, you know, libertarianism is just like liberalism in that it's based in secular humanism, and conservatism is really based in transcendent moral authority. And, you know, the Constitution of the United States, for instance, is a great document, but without that transcendent moral authority, it's just a piece of paper. And that's something I'm really trying to hit home with people, to say, look, you know, we need somebody who has a moral character, who has the understanding that it comes from God, it has to come from something transcendent. It can't just be, you know, what man makes up or what man drafts into a document. It has to be, you know, has to be that. You know, of the four candidates left in the race, to me, certainly that person is Rick Santorum, the person that understands that, that's really out there promoting that message, and the person that has a personal moral character to back it up. You know, Santorum's not a perfect candidate. He's got his issues and all that, just as any of them would. But to me, you know, of those left, he stands head and shoulders above. And, you know, I just would encourage people to keep fighting that, and don't give up on the, you know, people keep saying it's the economy, stupid, it's just that. You know, and I kind of challenge people to say, well, you know, Rick Santorum is very strong on the economy. He's strong on, especially on foreign policy, those things. He's not just a moral, candidate or social conservative candidate. But I say, what I'm trying to get through to people is you can't really separate this thing. I have so many people, social media keeps saying, well, you know, we have to separate the social and the fiscal. And it's just like Jim DeMint said, you can't be a fiscal conservative without being a social conservative. And all of our fiscal issues come from a moral problem, you know. Over taxation, that's government greed, what happened on Wall Street and the bailouts and all that stuff, that's all greed, and it's a moral issue, and it has to be dealt with through morality. And it's not that government needs to dictate to people how to live more, you know, morally or legislate morality, but I think they do have the obligation to lead a nation in a manner that upholds our moralities, and we have a certain morality as a nation. I don't think we need to elect leaders that promote that. It's not that they force it down our throats, but that they inspire us and they lead us. And, you know, I mentioned earlier, Rick Santorum certainly is a guy that, you know, he's a very inspiring. My dad was kind of on the fence as far as who to support. I took him to a faith and family thing they had here in Greenville a few days before the primary. And, you know, he heard him speak on that issue, you know, about morality and all. And my dad, you know, immediately, as soon as he got him, I knew if my dad would ever meet him, he would get on board, and it's true enough. It was because of that. It was because of that inspiration and that realness. You know, there's something real. There's somebody like Newt Gingrich or Romney or somebody like that, and a lot of what they say is good, but they just don't have that substance and that depth that's there. I think that Rick really, truly grasps it. You know, he understands. You know, that we're on the precipice fiscally, but that also has its roots in the morality. And unless if we come back morally as a nation, all the other, it doesn't matter whether our economy comes back or not. If we don't come back morally, we're doomed. And so this is something I would challenge people. You know, it's we're in the fight of our lives. You know, this is a critical crossroads. You know, and can we come back as a nation? You know, who knows? Maybe we've gone too far, but certainly I'm going to do everything I can. I've been fighting this fight for over a year now, and to try to see that a conservative is in office, regardless if it's DeMint or Bachman or Santorum or even somebody else. I mean, I want it to be a strong conservative, and certainly I think that person now we need to fight for is Rick Santorum. You know, I just make the appeal to anybody still supporting Newt Gingrich, you know, look, I understand your support for your candidate. You know, I fought for Bachman as long as I could. And, you know, but there comes a point at which a person is no longer viable and they're no longer have a chance of winning. So if there is a good second choice to you, you know, coalesce and help us, you know, do the right thing to beat Mitt Romney, to see if we can get a conservative in office. So that's an appeal I would make to them. But, you know, it's been a wild ride. It's been a roller coaster. You know, seems like this thing has just been unusually polarized, and it's been fun. It's been exciting. It's also very draining and very time-consuming, but it's going to be interesting. I think in the end, you know, I was kind of depressed a little bit, kind of going into Super Tuesday. We lost a lot of momentum. It looked like we're way ahead in a lot of polls, and a lot of, you know, Michigan looked like it was going to be a win for us. It seemed like kind of to have ridden the momentum out of his three, you know, three first wins there for about a month was a long time to ride momentum. And seems like things kind of shifted, and I was like, you know, we had a chance to really kind of seal the deal, and maybe it's not going to happen. But I think even after Super Tuesday, though, we didn't win Ohio, and there was some disappointment there. I think we did have some good solid wins. We had the big win in Kansas. I think at the end of the day, I think enough conservatives are going to come together, I think we are going to win this thing. You know, it may, whether it's an outright win or a brokered convention. So I've got a good feeling in the end. I saw, you know, when I first met Rick Santorum, it was a home person's home here in Greenville, and there were probably 30, 40 of us there. And he stood in the living room, was literally basically begging for enough donations so he could get a plane flight back home. I mean, they were that low on money. That was early on back in the spring. And, you know, nobody was supporting him, and nobody hardly even knew what he was. I was in there and said, you know, there's something special here. There's something unique. And I told people all along, even when I was campaigning for Michelle Bachmann, I said, do not count Rick Santorum out. People just kept laughing at me. He's nowhere. He's, you know, he's behind John Huntsman or whatever, you know. I could say, don't count him out. You know, he's a fighter. And people said, yeah, he's just trying to get a cabinet position. I said, no, he's in this thing to win because he believes in it. And certainly that's proven out to be. And I think, you know, people even now are trying to count him out and say, well, Romney's, you know, he's got the delegate lead. He's going to be the nominee. And I said, well, could well be, but Rick Santorum is there fighting. I think we have a fighting chance, and I think if we unite, we stay positive, we stay focused, and like you say, don't let things distract us. I think we can win this, and if not, let's at least go down fighting, because I think it's something worth fighting for. And it's not about the candidate.
Well, Javen, I appreciate that, buddy. Hang tight. Listen. Hey, Joe, you there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, hang tight 1 second, because we just got a call from our boss, all of our bosses. She's online with us now. Before I bring her on, I just want to give a quick story. After Mr. Kane suspended, I sent an email to I can't pronounce his last name. It's hard for me. Joe Ben Shelley. What's Rick's? I can't pronounce his last name.
Who are you talking about?
Senator Santorum's campaign manager, Joe
Biondo. Mike Biondo?
Mike Biondo. Yeah, yes, I have a hard time with the last name. So I sent him an email, and within 30 minutes I get a phone call, and this is the lady that's on the other end saying, is this Michael? I got an email forwarded to me, and she brought me on board. I am so thrilled. I'm so honored. This is the first time ever on my program she's been on. This is the person who I look up to, that I seek my direction from. Ladies and gentlemen, Conservative Nation Radio Shows is proud to bring you Shelley Alsmeyer, our field director from the grassroots side. Shelley, thank you so much, boss. You know how much I love you. What do you got to say?
Well, I've got to say is, man, I wish I'd come on sooner. That was quite an intro.
You know how I feel about you. I mean, you know,
you
brought me on board when I jumped on with both feet. I sent my email and literally within 30 minutes, you were calling me that Saturday morning, and I'll never forget it. I mean, I'm yours. I'm devoted to you. You know, so.
Well, you know, one thing I do try to do is get back to people as quick as I can. And, you know, as the campaign has built momentum, it's gotten more difficult because, you know, frankly, when Rick's doing well, you know, my inbox just goes crazy. So I'm glad we were able to connect because, you know, you have just done a great job for us. And like many people across the country, you just stepped up and you just started doing things. And that's been the real key for Rick's success and the momentum he has built, because you know, he talks about it all the time, and it's not just a phrase, it's not just a political you know, turn of a phrase or you know, trying to just say, you know, something that people say when they don't have money. I mean, we truly are a grassroots campaign built on the passion of people who appreciate that Rick is willing to stand up and talk about the issues that are important to us and put himself out there. And that's what got me involved very early on. I kind of joke that you know, Rick was like at about 2% in the polls. It was way before Iowa, and similar to your story, I told a friend who's connected with the campaign that, you know, I was you know, I was a Huckabee person, and when it became clear that Governor Huckabee wasn't going to get in, you know, I mentioned to this individual that I was ready to get behind Rick, because there was, you know, it was clear to me with 12 people in the field at that time that Rick was the person that was going to represent what I believed best. And so I think it was within an hour that I got a phone call from Rick. So I know what that's like to you know, get an affirmation that the direction you're going is the right one, but you know, since that point, I've been very dedicated to Rick and what we've tried to do. And it's grown, it's built, and the people that are listening on this call, it's all about you. I mean, we would not be where we are today if it were not for you. So I did. If you have a few minutes, I did want to talk a little bit about some specifics. Is that okay?
It's Shelley, I am so glad you called in, and I know that Joe Paul, one of our leaders here in Tarrant County, can hang on for just a second. Shelley, the floor is yours. I would like for you to please give directions to the troops. We've got a lot going on, and it's great that it comes from you, boss.
Okay. Stop calling me that.
I love to do it.
Okay. I know you mean it affectionately.
I
okay.
do.
Well,
I very much do.
I want to let people know that today we had Elizabeth Santorum is in Hawaii. She's got the really tough duty of being in that wonderful state. She's representing Rick for the next few days leading up to caucus out there. And so if you're on Twitter, you know, make sure you're following her or following Team Santorum Hawaii, and you'll get some updates from her. And then Karen is in Alabama, you know, helping out there. And then Rick, of course, is in Mississippi today. So that's where the campaign is today, and you guys can follow their activities on the Internet, Facebook, and Twitter. You know, one of our biggest challenges as a campaign is helping individual supporters feel connected to the campaign. And as we've grown bigger, that's gotten more difficult. And I know it's frustrating to be, you know, in a state like Illinois or, Montana or, you know, any state really, and be thinking, you know, I want to help Rick and I don't know how to do it. But I have a couple of suggestions that the first thing you can do is go to Rick's website, and you can look at the states tab and drop down and see if your state's listed. Those are the states that we're currently competing in. So that's one way. There's a lot of information you can get there. The other is to check Facebook for there's state pages. Those are just, you know, more broadcast-type opportunities for your state. So if you just put in the browser Santorum and then your state, let's say for instance Santorum, Indiana, and then drop way down to where the groups are listed, those are private closed groups, but if you ask to get in, they'll let you in, and that is a good way to get connected with people in your state. The other thing is Rick's Army. We have a brand new grassroots organization called Rick's Army, and you can go to their website, join a meetup, or create one, and that's just a wonderful way, again, to connect with people that support Rick in your community. And the last way is if you absolutely are still struggling to get connected, you can send me an email, Shelley, Shelley, @ricksantorum.com, and I will do my best to make sure you're connected with some type of leadership in your state so you can get involved. Do I have time for a few more things?
Shelley, you've got all the time you want, my friend.
All right, well, just cut me off when you want.
No, please. This is important.
Okay, well, I know our biggest thing that people can do across the country, no matter where you are, is our Phone from Home program. I know Allison has been on, and she's probably going to come back on and talk about that. But I can't stress that enough, that the phone calls make a difference, especially the way we do them, because they're people like us calling in. They're not robocalls, and they're not people that are hired, but they're real supporters who can speak passionately to whoever's on the other end. So I want to encourage people to do that. Even if it's, you know, 10 calls a day, which only takes you about 15 minutes or 20 minutes, that really helps. The other thing is sine waves, and I want to talk a lot about this because these cost no money, and basically you can make some signs yourself, some poster board, or you can go to Rick's website and you can order some signs. But these are great ways. They're hugely impactful. We did one here in Indiana, 20 degrees out, and there were 12 of us out there. We're on a busy road, and we got a lot of notice, and it was really impactful because it tells people, my goodness, these people are out here in this cold weather waving signs for this candidate. They must really be supportive and passionate. So that is very wonderful thing you can do, and those are every Saturday, and you do them on your own. You just get a handful of people, get some signs, pick a busy corner, and go out for a half an hour or an hour or whatever and make some impact in your community. And then letters to the editor, we're hoping people will get a little bit more involved in that, and those shouldn't be very technical. We just ask you to speak from your heart and talk about maybe the moment when you first decided to support Rick, how this country would be better if he were president or something like that. You know, keep them short and keep them, you know, not too technical. Those are great ways as well. And then I want to talk a little bit about collateral. I know I get a lot of requests in my email about how can I get signs, how can I get bumper stickers. I know Greg talked a little bit about when the collateral runs out, people panic. And so what we did to help people in every state, every corner, every community is we've got bulk sale now available on Rick's website. So if you go to the campaign store and you go to the kits and the bulk sales, you're going to find that, for instance, you could get 100 signs for $150. That's like $1.50 a sign, and no other campaign does that. I mean, we have, you know, we're not making any money on that. It's just our way of trying to help people in communities, folks like you, everybody, get some collateral, and you can buy buttons, bumper stickers, all kinds of things for very, you know, just pennies practically. So I really encourage people to look at that, order some stuff, and then, you know, you can become kind of the person in your community who's a sign planter. And again, you don't have to wait for the campaign to tell you to do it. Just go out, order that, bring them to your community, and get those signs planted. So one last thing I want to talk about is literature. I also get a lot of requests for, I need pushcards, I need you to mail me, you know, 1,000 this or 1,000 that. But really the one thing that you can do is go to the website and download some literature. You can go to the Team Santorum tab and pull down, and then there is a piece of literature to download. You can also type in your browser madeinamericaplan.com, and you'll find the Made in America plan that Rick's economic plan is based on. You can find a piece of literature that you can download. And it's pretty cheap to make, you know, 100 black or white copies and take them to a Tea Party event or a GOP dinner or something and pass out some literature for Rick. So I know I've given you a lot of information, and there's a lot more I could say, but I know you have other people you want to get to. But just those are some of the ways that people can make a difference, you know, on their own, just getting out and doing some stuff. So.
Well, Shelley, I can't thank you enough for calling in and giving us all of that information. I'd like to just bring on, if you've got a moment, boss, I'd like to bring on one person, if he's got a question for you or something he can add to whatever you've said, someone that I'm personally very very pumped about, someone that I respect immensely, someone who's a great organizer here in the state of Texas and in Tarrant County. Someone that I don't know if you've had a chance to meet him yet, but I want to introduce him to you now, and that's our Tarrant County team captain, Joe Paul. Joe, Shelley Alsmeyer is our field director. I want you to be able to say hi to her. This lady means everything to me. I love Shelley to death, and you know how I feel about you, buddy. I wanted you two to touch base, and Joe, this is Shelley. Shelley, this is Joe.
Hey, Shelley, does he not give good introductions?
I tell you what, I don't know if I can live up to all that. No, I got to
really
try
harder. I know I can't either. So, yeah. I wanted to reiterate a couple of things you've said that have been very. I've seen that they've been very impactful. First of all, we have done sign waves not only in Tarrant County, but we went up to Oklahoma this past weekend. Or the weekend before last, I should say.
Oh,
and,
you in that group? I saw some of your pictures.
Yes.
That's
I'm probably
awesome.
The most photographed sign waver out there. But what was great was when Michael and I were going door-to-door on Get Out the Vote on Election Day, people came up to us and said, oh, my gosh, Rick Santorum is everywhere. We saw a sign wave over at Lowe's. We saw people with signs over at Walmart. And now you guys are out here on the street. Rick Santorum really wants the city of Ardmore, right? And it was,
you know, that,
it was great.
That's true. I mean, you know, I don't know if you guys saw Rick on Meet the Press this morning, but I think the very last thing he said was, you know, he's out there hustling. And it's true. I mean, he's the hardest working candidate, and he's inspired all of us to work hard too. And it's contagious. It really is. In fact, I think he's going to tweet later today about he's going to tweet a little video about sine waves. So y'all will want to check his Twitter account and get a hold of that video. Some of you may see yourself in there. In fact, but it's really inspiring. It's really a precious video. So I hope everybody watches it.
Absolutely, Shelley. Well, and let's see, we pick Rick tonight, which is a show that you helped with our buddy Dan. What time does that come on, Shelley?
That comes on, let me backtrack here. I got to figure out what time zone we're talking. It's 9 to 11, no, I'm sorry, 10 to 11 Eastern. So for you guys, it would be 9 to 11. So
Exactly.
Yep.
Well, boss, I know that you've got a full schedule. I can't thank you enough for calling in to mine and Becca's. You know, Becca and I do this show together. So I can't say Becca, is anything you want to say real quick to the boss?
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time. I can't imagine how very busy you are, Shelley. But you took the time to call. Yeah, and
I'm happy to do it. You guys are awesome. And so this is the kind of activity. You know, I talk a lot of times to national staff about, you know, organic stuff. And what I mean is the stuff that just happens because people are passionate and committed. And you guys are a great example of that. So
thank you. And this specific segment was Michael's idea. So, you know, it's what's great to me and what I've really learned. I know you probably have to go, but I just very briefly that you. I think people make the mistake of thinking they have to do everything. And that's something that can stymie you and cause you to not act. And what I've learned is that you can have an idea and maybe someone else implements it or you implement it together. Or, you know what I mean? And it's not something where, oh, I don't know how to do that or I've never done that specific thing before. An example, like 2 weeks ago, I'd never made a graphic in my life. I don't know how to do even on MS Paint, I wouldn't know how to do it. And and Jeff Morgan makes those great graphics. And I said to him, Jeff, I got a new laptop, and I need to know how to, you know, it has Picasso on it. How do I do this? And so he kind of walked me through it. And it's been a blessing to me personally that, you know, I'll see a quote or I'll see something that Rick says in whatever, you know, and especially when he was here in Ohio. I mean, just some of the amazing things, like, you know, when Ohio whispers, you know, everyone listens, and, you know, when Ohio shouts, we want a conservative, you know, everyone's going to stand up with you. I mean, how can you not want to get that message out to people?
Right.
And one of the things that people really appreciate is images. And if we can replace the media images with our own images, I don't know how we could lose. I mean, it's a combination of the call from home, these people that are with Rick, that have been with him from the start, from before the start, and trying to be kind of the new media. I think that we have – I like to call him – he's our top volunteer, Rick Santorum. And it, with that, I'm not really sure – you know what I mean? I'm not really sure how we can fail. Because
there's always been this frustration. I felt it in 2008 where it feels like the media wants to pick our candidate, the establishment wants to decide, and they don't want us to decide. And so with social media and the way we can all connect now, we can go around that. We don't have to accept that. So, you know, Rick has the right message. He's had it. It's never changed. He's been saying the same thing since those early days in Iowa. He's still saying it. But people are starting to notice because of us. I mean, we're not accepting what the media says, and we're not accepting what the establishment says. And we're out there, you know, using a lot of different ways to get the message out. So, hey, I appreciate all of you. Let me just say one more time before I go. These sine waves are very, very important, and they're happening every Saturday. And if you can't do one on a Saturday, and Friday at the drive home time is the best time you can do it, then do yours on Friday, do it on Tuesday at lunch, do it whenever. But Saturdays are our big national. We do sine waves across the country. And if you want to, on Rick's Facebook page, if you just type in your browser, ricksinewave.com, you'll go to the Facebook page. There's an event, and you can just RSVP that you're going to have a sine wave for Rick next Saturday. So.
Yeah, great. That is awesome. And the last thing I want to say before you go is I really want to encourage everyone to go to wepickrick.net, and that's a way that you can actually blog. I mean, it's a whole blog. It's very, very simple. Just type in whatever, like you were talking about, people sharing in a newspaper or something how they feel about Rick, how they decided to support him. You can do that there at We Pick Rick too, and it's more accessible in some ways that you can share it online. It's right there, so I want to encourage people to do that too. You're welcome, and thank you so much again for coming on. Anytime that you have a chance, you definitely are welcomed on the airwaves here.
I'm a little bit off schedule today. I've been helping with some activity in Hawaii, and they're 5 hours behind.
Well, they're now 6 hours behind, and so I've been on that schedule and then trying to get up every morning and be on my normal schedule and,
you know,
here on the mainland. It's but, you know, we've got Liz out there, and she's so excited to be out there helping her dad, and so, you know, we're glad that we were able to get that lined up for her. So.
Me too.
All right, well, you guys take care, and I'll come back.
Sounds like you got jet lag, boss. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
All right. You're up on deck. Give us the let's do the leader. Let's finish up the leadership segment with you, my friend, from Texas. We got Joe. Go ahead. It's all yours.
Well, first of all, I've got to say that there were some great leaders and some things. My pen was writing down some great ideas, especially from Greg. And all the great things he had to say. I agree with him that the first and foremost, that you have to start with your faith and make sure that, you know, every day and every meeting, I'm sometimes saying it aloud and sometimes I'm saying it to myself, but I'm praying that the right people are coming at the right time, doing the right things to make this all work. And so far, my prayers have been answered in spades. So I agree that you start off with your faith. The other thing that I picked up from them was having that list of tasks to do, because there already are people calling up and volunteering, but they have very specific things that I won't do this, I won't do this, I won't do this. What can I do? And the nice thing is that if you have that list, you can say, well, then you can do this, you can do this. This last Tuesday on Super Tuesday, we had this great event here. We had close to 180 people in a movie theater watching the results on the big screen. And the night before, I had an email exchange with a lady that said she wanted to volunteer for the campaign, but she wouldn't do this, wouldn't do that, wouldn't do this, wouldn't do that. And I asked her to come to the event, and if she would just help me with the registration table so that as people came in, we got their name and information. She stayed there the whole night with the biggest smile on her face, was the happiest you can be. And I kept asking, you know, can we relieve you? Can we let some, you know, would you like to come in? And she was having the time of her life. So by having those people there what was great about it was everyone that went to her table and went to the other table, they all came into the movie theater with big smiles on their faces because our greeters were the happiest people you can imagine. And
that's
that email exchange the night before, I wouldn't have known that. So, but what I got out of what Greg was saying in that whole part of it was fill the person, not the position. And a lot of times we have, you know, I sit there and think, okay, my strategy to deliver the votes that we're going to deliver in this county or in this region, we've got to have these positions filled. Well, that lady, as well as what Greg just said, is you fill the person and not the position, and they'll take over and do everything that really needs to be done. So we've been trying to take advantage of every tool that the campaign's given us. Our party we promoted with Rick's Army and had about 40 people RSVP beforehand, so we knew that there was at least a little groundswell that we'd have somebody at that theater, so we might as well go ahead and book the theater. We also, like I told Shelly, we've been doing the sine waves, doing as much as we can. I'm trying to promote Foam from Home just to get our volunteers busy and get the movement going on that they would have when it comes to our state, just like Kansas did, just like Oklahoma did. So it was, if we get in the habit of picking up the phone and dialing and all of that, that's great. Now it's... I hope that now that these states that have gone through Super Tuesday, they take about a week off, kind of regroup, recover, but they've got to realize that we're still in the fight and that they need to be on the phones calling as well.
Yeah.
So those are some of my thoughts of what we're what we've got going and what I'm trying to do to get things going here in Texas.
Absolutely, Joe.
Great.
Hey, boss, do we need to schedule text me, let me know when we need to schedule our next county meeting, and I'll get that set up for us. But anything else you need to put out? I'm going to go ahead and do your final thoughts, and then I'm going to start running through the panel here for final thoughts. You got any final thoughts?
Well, the other thing I picked up from Shelley, and I think we can, instead of waiting until the campaign gives us direction, I think we can start getting all of our volunteers to start writing letters to the editor. And mm-hmm. the three bullet points I got from her was keep them short, talk about the moment that you decided that Rick was the right candidate, and then and make sure that you're not technical. I think that if we flood every newspaper out there, those get picked up, and a lot of those get picked up online, even though they're not put in print.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can grab that and tweet it and retweet it and everything else. And so a simple letter to the editor can have a profound impact in a state that's, voting in the next couple of weeks.
Well, Joe, I appreciate it. That's Joe Paul, one of our state leaders in Tarrant County, team leader here in Tarrant County. Joe, stand by, buddy. I want to bring in Rochelle real quick. I just got a phone call, and I know, Chris, you're in Mississippi, and then we're going to go through the Greg, Javen, everybody. We're going to do our final run through. We've got about 10 minutes left before the end of the show. But I just got a call from the Alabama State Director, Rochelle, is on the line. Rochelle, let's get you on because Tuesday is very important, and you're a big part of it.
Oh, well, we are absolutely. My husband and I, actually, Bob, my husband and I are both the co-directors here in Alabama, and I can't tell you how thrilled we are to be here. I have been on the campaign trail, both of us, for about 6 months now, and I honestly have never seen anything like I've seen in Alabama. Our volunteers are passionate, they're excited, they're enthusiastic, and sacrificial. I mean, we have fantastic volunteers, and we are blitzing the state with Rick Santorum. You want me to continue your questions?
Yeah.
You want me to just kind of rattle off what's going on here?
It's yours. The floor is yours.
Oh, excellent. Okay, great. Well, wonderful. We had Karen Santorum here in the state. Warm welcome, wonderful welcome. Had quite a few folks there. People adore her as they adore the senator. It was wonderful. We had the senator in the state this past Thursday, and it was absolutely fantastic. We had a rally in Huntsville, and we had over 500 folks there. We had the rally in Birmingham, and we had about 500 folks. And I staffed that event, and I'm telling you what, people were so excited. They brought their signs. They brought their kids. They were enthusiastic, drowned them out with clapping and shouting, and it was just fantastic. And so after the rallies, I fielded the emails and phone calls, and I got a few emails that were just, it really stuck out to me. One in particular, a gentleman said that when he was at the rally listening to the senator, he had never heard a speech, a more powerful speech by a presidential candidate in his entire life. And I had a couple people call in and say, you know what, I wasn't sure until I went to the rally, and Rick's my man. And so we know in Alabama, which I'm sure everybody knows across the states out there, that our best ad and our best asset is the senator himself. So when we have him here, it's just an absolute blast. So we had a great, great turnout. We have, probably hundreds and hundreds of volunteers stand out across the state. We have thousands and thousands of signs out. And just in the last 3 days, we have about 3,000 signs out. And we have people canvassing with literature, sign waves. And it's neat because one group set up a sign wave, and they set up a little makeshift truck and put up a sign and said, literature here. And we had people stopping left and right, grabbing literature, tell them how excited they were about the senator. And it's very exciting. We also have our headquarters open, and our headquarters is located at 1025 Montgomery Highway, technically Vestavia Hills, but that's Birmingham, 35216. And we've had some
really fun activity here. We've had phone banking. We have people sign waving. We have people coming to get their signs and reporting to us. They're writing into the editor that they're out there handshaking on their own. We had a blitz this morning where people went out across the state and placed a beautiful piece of literature we have on the windshields of cars at different churches. And it was just a lovely piece because it focused on our candidate and the strengths of the senator. So that went very, very well. And then we have something exciting tomorrow. Actually, two things very exciting here at the headquarters. If anybody lives anywhere in the Birmingham area or near Birmingham or you want to travel, we have the Duggar family coming in. They're, of course, the same family at the TLC show, 19 Kids and Counting. They'll be at the headquarters at 10 a.m. and want people here all day long. And then at 4, we have a very special event. We have the senator himself showing up at our headquarters, so we're very excited about that. So we have quite a bit going on. We have a lot of networking on Facebook, a lot of folks really involved there, and we've garnered volunteers and support from Facebook. If people really want to get involved and they do not live in Alabama and they cannot get to our headquarters, we welcome you to visit www.ricksantorm.com, and you can go ahead and sign up for the call-in from home. Number of ways to get involved, and of course you can donate online. And we also, just two more things. We had a family that drove in from Georgia, and they, on their own, for 2 days, they canvassed the eastern part of the state and the northern part of the state and blitzed it with signs and sign waves and visiting with people and that sort of thing. And then we had a gentleman drive in from Texas who drove all night on Friday night, arrived on Saturday, and the man has not stopped working literally since. He did sleep last night, but whatever needs to be done, the man does it. So, I mean, that's the type of volunteers we have. We have them right here in Alabama as well. I'm just overwhelmed by the sacrifice and the enthusiasm. So we're absolutely pumped up in Alabama, and we are very excited for Tuesday.
Well, Rochelle, we appreciate everything y'all are doing in Alabama. You guys get the votes out for us. I want to bring in real quickly, Rochelle. I would like to bring in...
Sure.
Chris, your neighbor.
Hey, Chris.
Come on in here, Chris.
Hey.
Hey there.
Chris,
glad to be on the line.
Give us the rundown from Mississippi, my friend. Thank you for holding patiently.
Wonderful.
Oh, yeah, not a problem. We just actually finished up, and the senator is on his way to his next event. That's why I've been kind of happy to be patient. We had a wonderful event here with about 400 people down in Gulfport.
Oh my God! Yes, that's Rick applause right there.
And he's been gaining enthusiastic crowds across Mississippi. We've really tapped into the Tea Party and homeschool and the evangelicals across the state. So it's really been awesome seeing the people come together to really help out with this campaign. And we've got three offices open. We've got one down in Biloxi, one in Hattiesburg, and a dump site that for our collateral, which is now basically empty up in Tupelo. And so we have been really hustling the past 2 weeks just to get all of our signs delivered across the state and palm cards over to all of the Republican events that have been going on, which we've had some awesome Tea Party events and some Republican events that we've had to just really get some enthusiastic volunteers out of. So it's been a real rush for the past couple of days, and we're looking forward to Tuesday, and we are happy for any support that we can get. Basically, we've got teams across the state who have been doing sine waves on a regular basis. Saturday, Sunday, and then we had a few that were going Thursday and Friday of last week too. So it's been awesome just seeing people take time out of their day to just show their support. So,
listen, while I've got both of you guys on, Rochelle and Chris, Rochelle from Alabama, Chris from Mississippi, both leaders in the Santorum movement. I've got a panel full of people here. We're getting down to the end of the show. So what I'd like to do, guys, is I'd like to round table with who I have on the line here, what we can do for Alabama and Mississippi. Javen, I'm going to start with you, Javen. Do you have a question or for Rochelle or Chris what we can do for Alabama or Mississippi?
In like 30 seconds.
I was just saying, very interesting, briefly. Well, most of what I do is through social media. You know, Facebook is vitally important. It's not just your wall, but get in the political groups. You know, search Republican, conservatives. Political groups will pop up. A lot of times there's, you know, several hundred or a thousand, you know, some thousands of people in those groups. Get in there and post, because you can affect a lot of people. It's not just posting on your wall, but there's a lot of pages and things you can post on, and keep that momentum. You know, it goes to a lot of people, and that momentum is vitally important. And dispelling with negatives, get post, respond, you know, post the articles and things that dispute it, and keep the positives up.
Absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely. Greg, do you have anything for Rochelle or for Chris, respectively, in Alabama or Mississippi that you need to ask them that we can do for them?
I would just recommend, since you're getting so close to the end, it's not too late to try to get yard signs out. Push yard signs everywhere you can. Get them on every major corner. Get them in everybody's yard. It's not too late to influence visual marketing. Visual marketing is very important. So push the signs as much as you possibly can. Show a presence.
Absolutely. I think we have, right now in the last 3 days in Alabama, we placed at least 3,000 signs, and there were signs out before that. So that's absolutely true.
All right, cool. Joe, anything for Rochelle or Chris in Alabama and Mississippi, respectively?
My comments for everyone outside of Alabama and Mississippi, get on the call from home and call in there. If you've got lots of friends on Facebook, like they said, go find those friends that are in Alabama and Mississippi and just say hi, and then they'll go back and see your wall full of Santorum stuff, and it'll help a lot. So,
yeah.
You know, just make the effort. If everyone here just makes 10 calls in, then that's at least 500 to, you know, 600 calls just right now. That can make a difference. It only takes 34 votes to win a state, from what we found out.
That's absolutely right. That's right.
True.
All right, Joe. I'll talk to you later, my friend. Rochelle, Chris, from my buddy Becca and I to both of you. We appreciate everything you're doing in Alabama and Mississippi.
You know,
as you know, Becca's from Ohio. I'm from Texas. You guys, we're depending on y'all. We not only do we need a good vote, we need to get Newt out of this thing. So
yeah,
we're looking to the leadership of both of y'all. So we are here at y'all's disposal even after this Tuesday. We're here at your disposal. Please feel free to call in anytime. Is there any parting words? Rochelle first, then Chris. I need about 15, 20 seconds for parting words, and then we need to close.
Yeah, I just want to thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. Appreciate the forum here, and we just appreciate everybody's support. If you're not here in Alabama, call in. If you're here in Alabama, come on out and join the fight, because we are in a fight, and we are in the fight to win, and absolutely requesting all your prayers as well.
You've got them, Rochelle. Thank you very much. Chris, final word is yours, my friend.
Hey, well, all I have to say is, you know, we are set up to be the anvil, and Alabama, you guys be the hammer, and let's pound Newt out of this race. We've got a phone for the office at 601-660-1175. That's 601-660-1175. If there is anybody out there who is willing to come help us out, do sine waves, help with working on election day, helping just target their friends and voters, all we're asking is, if you have a list of people that you know in Mississippi or Alabama, please give them a call and ask for 5 phone calls from them. You know, we're not asking for 10, we're not asking for 20, we're just asking for 5 phone calls to see if we can't make an impact here as we get into the final days of this election, because this is a grassroots operation that has really seen a lot of success and enthusiasm in the last couple of days, and especially with this big win in Kansas and the big win that we had with those 3 states on Super Tuesday. So thank you guys for all you guys are doing, and we are ready to rock and roll down here.
Chris, we appreciate everything you're doing. Thank you very much. Again, that number is 601-660-1175. That's Chris in Mississippi. If that's the only phone number I got, he'll get you to Rochelle over in Alabama. They're to me, as a Texan, basically the same states. Whoops, sorry, Chris. but we're going to pull these states out. Thanks a lot, guys. Becca, great show, my friend. Final thoughts.
The last thing, and I'm just kind of to bring everything full circle, I and a lot of the other people are going to be in the prayer warriors for Rick Santorum, pulling for all of you, Alabama, Mississippi. There are prayers there. People perpetually pray. There's every faith in there. And anyone that can't make calls, I urge them to go to that group and post whatever they feel is appropriate. And with God's help, and if it's His will, Rick Santorum will be our next president. And thank you all so very much for what you do.
Thank you. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. You're my partner.
Yeah.
I couldn't do this without you. Folks, that is Soldiers of Patriotism for this Sunday, the 11th of March. This is the Maley Thomas Band doing Better Days They Wrote for Senator Santorum.
Some people have lost their faith, no longer think our country's great. I choose to believe in it still. We'll find our way as we find our way.